United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, so- Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce.
The fool couple of Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Fit family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Today is the 19th of August 2013. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock here on WSOM, and it's open mic as it is on always on Mondays. The number is 347-945-5229. Jeff is in studio with me. Everybody else is MIA. I don't know where everybody else. I think Six is off. Six is sick. Ben is missing. And it's just me and Jeff. So you got to come in here and tell Jeff he doesn't know everything. Hey, listen. Good luck with that. If you, what are you
That's
laughing?
A good one.
What? Telling that you don't know everything?
That's right.
It's the truth.
I know it all.
You don't know it all. No. Mark knows it all. You know everything.
Mark knows all and some more.
No. Mark knows it all, and you know everything, and so everybody else is
Mark
just.
Mark knows all and some more. I know everything.
Okay.
I'm a step below him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, listen, what do I want to talk about first? How was Jazz in the Park, Jeff?
Jazz in the Park was absolutely fantastic once again. We have had nothing but fantastic weeks from week one all the way
through. Jazz, I just want to know about yesterday.
Yesterday.
That's all I want to know.
We had John Morton and friends from out of Akron, Ohio.
Okay.
And we had a guy that plays most of the year, in a bass player in Lithuania and Russia. He travels over there and comes back and forth, and he does his thing. And the boy was bad. Keyboard player from out of Canton, bad boy. Drummer out of Cleveland, bad boy. They smoked yesterday. They just smoked it. Al Jarreau style, if you know how Al Jarreau sings, anybody, please, I'm going to tell you.
Does he have a CD out there?
Yes, they do. Now, so you got to get in touch with me, though, to get that CD. So you got to.
Why can't they do the whole CD, baby?
Because I don't know. I know they may. I don't know. But, you know, I can't answer for everybody's professionalism. But that's what you and I got to talk about. Because we need to expand our horizons on this. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. I got enough to do. I got enough.
To make money, don't you?
I need to make money, but I got to make money. If I take on one more thing, I'm going
to
lose it.
No, you won't.
Oh, yeah.
No. Because I'll drive that one. See, you take on stuff, and then nobody else is not around there helping you. But you got to take on some stuff and
that y'all can do.
That everybody else can do. We just need you to lend your services, your expertise,
I quit. I'm done.
No, you are not done with
done.
Nothing.
I'm done. I'm
be
done.
Quiet.
I'm done.
Anyway, you can't be done. You're still on the radio.
I'm done. Oh, I'm on the radio. Yeah, I'm on the radio.
Yeah, you can't get out. You can't get out of the public life, Tracy. People calling me left and right. Hey, you think Tracy can help me? I said, call her now.
No, they call you. That's you.
Yeah,
that's
why
right.
Do I call
that's
me
that's
for
that's,
you?
That's,
you
that's,
am
that's
I
that's
your personal manager
absolutely.
Or something?
Absolutely.
Then give me a check, baby.
It's in the mail.
It's always in the mail.
It's in the mail. It's in the mail.
But listen, you can't put it in the mail. You know why?
Why?
Because the post office is about to go bankrupt. So if my check is in that little transfer while they go bankrupt, guess what? I ain't getting my check.
No, don't worry about it. It's in the mail.
I'm worried about it.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, see,
don't worry
I ain't
about
talking
it. Don't worry about it.
Well, I'm done with
that's
you.
That's why they make electronic transfer.
I'm done with
don't
you.
Don't be. No. Mm. What else happened this weekend? Did you go see the Butler?
No,
I didn't. You know what?
See movies.
Let me say this. I planned on seeing the Butler, and on Friday night I came in and sat down, and when I woke up it was Saturday. So I guess that was a bad plan. So the Butler got skipped. And then Saturday, what did I do Saturday? Ooh, I went to Cleveland Saturday.
Oh yeah.
Went to the Cuyahoga GOP picnic.
Picnic. How was that? Interesting.
Interesting.
Oh, very
and
good.
And then I went to the Gridiron. South Range had a fundraiser.
Okay.
So Gridiron, the football team.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and had a wonderful time, ate well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came home and passed out again. Sunday, I went to the Seat Flea Market and I rested. And
okay.
On the seventh day, I rested. And so today, I am back full
you
force.
You just drove by the park. You would have heard
just,
all the music.
I didn't listen, you missed the point.
Oh, no, I didn't.
If I have to, the flea market, I can roll in and look crazy and roll out. you follow me? Roll in.
Oh, all you had to do is drive around the top of the park.
No,
you would have heard everything.
Because somebody might see the car.
Yeah.
You got a little coffee cup on the side. No. Roll in. No. See, roll in. Handle your business. You know, get a little corn.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little stuff. Say wave to the people and roll out. No one pays attention at the flea market. I had a little dog with me. She's crazy. That's okay. But see, no, you jazz in the park, got people, you got to talk, got to see, got to listen. People may see you. That's bad. I was not prepared for what they call public viewing. But I hear. wait a minute. The movie was so great. South Carolina called me on the phone.
Oh yeah.
And this is the. I might as well go here while we're here. This is the problem that I have with Americans, especially those of us who are. Of influence that happen to be of African American descent.
Mm-hmm.
When you, I don't mind you telling the truth completely. I
mm-hmm.
think the truth is the light.
Right.
The truth will make you free and the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right.
But I have a problem when you tell stories and you tell truth and then you tell half truths. Or you paint people into lights that are not true. See, I got to touch you with that.
Make it plain because no. I know where you're going. And it made me angry
to
hear it.
I haven't, you know, I understand. And we said it on Friday before the movie came out. And you, as you guys know, we are always right. We're always correct. And we know what we're talking about, whether you like it or not.
There you go.
You know, I understand that, you know, prejudices and ignorance have flowed through the White House. And they continue to flow up until this up-and-coming president, quiet as it's kept. But LBJ and JFK were not your friends.
No, they were not. Did they show them as friends in the movie?
Absolutely.
Oh, what the hell? I mean, I'm sorry. I said hail, H-A-I-L. H-A-I-L.
Absolutely.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
See, I can't take it,
Tracy. They, listen, y'all, I understand. You know, I know Nixon may have been a drunk. Okay, if you want to say that. I don't think Nixon had a real true affinity for black folk anyhow.
He did not.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that, though. He understands politics is not about who likes who, and this is not what this is about. Politics is not about who likes who. They don't have to like you. There's a whole bunch of people that America does business with that they don't like. It's all right. The question is, when are you going to tell the truth about who likes who and who did what for whom and how things happen instead of painting these rose-colored glass pictures of people that's not true and then making it to where they could still manipulate you? And I get stuff on my Facebook that tells me that I'm supposed to go and take my kids to go see the butler and then have a discussion about race in America. Whew, got that off my chest. Wait till you hear the next one.
Yeah, I hear you.
I just don't understand. Why in the world? If you care about people, then tell them the truth. Not everyone is in love with you on both sides. The only reason why Kennedy got in the office is because he was smart enough to go and help Martin Luther King.
Who he did not like.
And it was called the Blue Book.
Thank you. See, you can't tell nobody that, especially those people that are like us, to tan darker than a paper bag.
Oprah and the rest of them tell these stories and they make these rose-covered glasses like they was in love with black people and they just wanted them to be free. And they were going to ride and get their butts whipped on and they was going to go down the street like the Freedom Riders because they just cared.
Nothing was happening either, or was it?
They didn't have no change of heart, change of mind. They didn't care about you. We have a problem with this. And until we understand that, we're going to lose. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm just on a rant for a little while, and then I will then I'll get back. I'll calm down, and I'll have a woo-saw moment. But I just have a problem with the depiction of history and it not being true. Hey, local call, your mic is on.
Hey, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
I would like to talk to Jeff.
Well, what you want to talk to Jeff about?
I wanted to finish talking to him what we were discussing last week.
Well, what were you discussing last week? And if it has anything to do with it, because, you know, Jeff goes off the cliff talking about stuff. We won't be talking about that today. I don't care if it is open mic because I'm here. And Jeff runs his own show his way, and I run my show my way.
What did we talk about?
Well, we were talking about you say there are calls, stuff like that.
I'm not talking about that. I don't know why you call on Jeff today when Jeff
called. We don't talk about it on Monday.
I'm not talking about that.
I told him to get off because he told me.
What is on the agenda today anyway?
It's open mic, but it's not that. How's that?
Wait, say.
What?
You got to hear this one.
I don't want to hear it.
You got to hear this. Let me give you one fact.
Foolishness and nonsense.
Jesus was made king in 1914.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Foolishness is not on the agenda for Mondays just because it's open mic. And I'm not doing it, Steve, so find another topic or hang up and call back, listen in. I love you. It ain't personal.
Well, I mean, Mr.
No, Steve. No.
Huh?
No.
No, I'm not going to talk about that.
Okay, find another topic.
Well, Ms. Tracy, as I said that, I believe our president is a puppet.
A puppet of who?
Well, I think that he's being manipulated and controlled by those who put him in power.
No, this is not listen. This is not a manipulation, nor is this a puppeteer. He is doing that which he thought he should do based upon how he actually relates. This is how he thinks. You know what?
Didn't George Soros is the one who isn't he the guy who believes in the...
Listen, George Soros may be the one who helped him get in, but George Soros knows he believes what he thought he believed.
Wasn't he chosen to bring about the so-called New World Order?
He wasn't chosen. He's a part of it. He understands what he's doing. Hey, listen, I got to take another call. Hey, you're on... Hey, you're on live. Hello.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, how are you?
Do you know who you're talking to?
Pardon me? No.
Yeah, you're talking to. I usually call you. It's Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. Hey, I moved. I cannot get your channel, Tracy. And all I did was move to Boardman, and I cannot pick up your channel. And I need my fix for the afternoon, you know?
Listen, you can listen in on the phone, or you can listen in on iHeart, or you can listen in on the Internet on Tracy and Friends.
Okay.
If you go to TracyandFriends.com and just click the button, you can find us there. If you go to iHeart and go to 600 WSOM, you can find us there. I know we have a weak signal at home.
Yeah, because I had lived in Salem, and I moved to Boardman, so you think it's closer yet.
No, but actually, you were closer to the sticks in Salem than you were. You're closer to the studio here, but you're closer to the sticks there.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got to do something because I enjoy listening to you so much. I really do. And I love calling in and talking to you. So.
Well, I enjoy having you guys listen in. It's an honor and a privilege.
I'm going to get a little radio, and it's supposed to be a weather band radio, too, and, like, everything combined. And if there's really great reception,
you better put.
Radio.
Stick your foot in the toilet and head east and see what happens. Get some aluminum foil in.
There you go, like the old days.
Like the old days.
Too much. I really do miss you. I'm like, I've got to get this girl back on the radio.
Listen, you got to get. You have a computer around the house?
I did, but it really did. When I went to move, it went south. So that's that part.
If you have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
If you download the app iHeart.
Okay.
And then just look for local channels.
Okay.
And you'll find us right there. You'll see 600 WSOM, and actually it's a cleaner feed, and there are very, very few disruptions.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for
you
calling in.
Have a good afternoon. Okay?
You
love
too, and
you.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for trying to keep up with us, even though you can't find us too well on the radio. I appreciate that.
All right, Tracy. Love you. Bye.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, he was bringing up George Soros, which is really funny. You know, it's so funny that, you know, this guy puts a picture of Reagan up meeting with the sheikhs, okay, over in the Middle East. And then he says, look, here goes Obama cowering to the enemy again. He said, oh, no, this is Reagan. I said, let me give you something. Now, I wasn't the greatest Ronald Reagan fan. Okay, because I think his wife was a racist, and I think that he didn't really care. But that's my opinion of him. I can't change anything that he did, which was made the United States strong in the world. Okay, we were strong. When he met with the sheikhs, they did what he told them to do. When Obama meets with the sheikhs, he does what they tell him to do.
Well,
so that's a big difference in Reagan and Obama. I'm sorry.
I want to throw this out there. We need to understand that the philosophy of this administration is different than the one that you think it is. But we will not convince anyone of that. And I want Jeff. I want to drop in this because George Soros. You know, mm-hmm. if George Soros is a name of a ideological thought process. Of a one world order. I mean, we keep on using his name, but he's not the guru of it all. He is a part of a system that is executing a turn of events to make the globalization more prominent. And who's going to run it? It's either going to be American led or UN led. And so you got to know the difference between the two.
Right.
But this is the problem that I have. We're getting ready to start school again,
mm-hmm.
and if you send your child to school and don't shape their thought, they're going to come back something that you did not make them to be. You're supposed to shape your child's thought, and they're supposed to have your values, your views, your beliefs, and they're supposed to go to school and to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're supposed to learn history.
Oh, you're going there, are you?
They're supposed to learn how to learn. School is all about learning how to learn, not teaching you what I want you to think. And what we're doing is we are allowing a public school system to indoctrinate our children into thinking how they want your children to think, because you're at home sleep thinking that they're learning, and what they're learning is how to be robots and not how to be independent. And so when you look at school choice, and I know I've heard a whole lot of conversation about John Kasich this week about how he is so pro-choice that he's killing the public schools. Well, the public schools has killed themselves based upon their own ideology, their own philosophies, and their lack of management, and should I say their mismanagement of public dollars, and how they have dumbed down the system to where that which you have left behind is now sending their children into school without giving them the opportunity to learn how to learn, but to regurgitate that which they've already been taught. Local call, your mic is on.
I think the President of the United States is a puppet in a sense.
Go ahead, Steve.
I'll sit over here on my side. Oh, I will.
No, Steve, he's doing what he wants. You're right, Steve. He does. He wants the betterment of his. He wants the betterment of this country and of the American people in his way. Because, and when I say this, it's because he believes you can't make decisions for yourself. You understand that, right, Steve? Steve, in his own way, he does, but he wants to fundamentally change it. Listen to the words that come out of his mouth. Steve, he wants to fundamentally change the mindset. You're right. He does want to make the country into what he thinks is the best for it, and the best for it is someone else making decisions for people who are not as elite and as knowledgeable as him.
The government being in control of everything that you do from day to day is safe for you in his eyes. It is not about you having freedom to choose, freedom to do anything but what they want you to do. Why do you think the NSA is having such a hard time right now with this reputation of overseeing and listening to everybody's calls, going into and taking information down on people, telling neighbors to look at what their other neighbor is doing. Do you remember when he was doing that in the beginning? If your neighbor is doing something that subversive, you know, you call, and but subversive is talking about gay folk or this, that, and the other. That's what he wants. He does not have your well-being in mind. He has the propagation and the building of government in mind, and that's the difference. He is not for freedom, Steve, not at all.
And that's a problem. Hey, Diva, how are you, honey?
Is she in?
Yeah, she's.
Oh yeah, I'm here. I'm good. I forgot I had the phone on mute.
Oh God! How you doing, Diva?
I'm doing well.
That's good. Hey, listen, you know, you have your own fan base.
I do?
But yes, you do. It's really amazing.
You called after Steve this time, so what's up with that?
Hey, don't be messing up. Hey, listen, I got to take a break. Let me take my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945. 5229, let's see you on the other side.
Wounded warrior Dale Beatty is beginning the most important journey of his life.
Swift 1-2s en route with urgent ASAC. Now, copy.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at a Fisher House. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Make a donation to Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Hey, Dave, what's up?
Geraldo, first I want to begin by telling you how special what you do on the radio. You're an ambassador
not just to the Republicans. You're an ambassador between the common man and the rich, powerful.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A Youngstown State football player has been arrested on warrants out of Girard and Warren. Senior defensive back Dale Peterman was arraigned Tuesday on a 2012 warrant for marijuana possession and traffic citations, and another warrant this year for traffic citations. The 22-year-old was arrested and taken to Trumbull County Jail. He was later released. YSU's football coach says Peterman is suspended indefinitely, and he's letting the legal process run its course. Today, parts of Interstate 680 and Boardman will shut down for construction work. The ramp from 680 North to U.S. Route 224 will be closed through the middle of October. You can use Western Reserve Road to South Avenue as a detour. And a bad crash in Youngstown sent one person to the hospital. It happened yesterday afternoon. A Jeep collided with the back of a semi-truck at the corner of Himrod and Hine Street. Police are investigating the crash. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Expectations. We all have them. It's how we anticipate life should be. From a healthcare facility, you expect competency, compassion, and caring. At Crandall Medical Center, we seek to meet and exceed your expectations of what a rehabilitation and nursing care center should be. At Crandall Medical Center, the clinical staff of nurses and therapists are highly trained, experienced professionals who expect expertise, and we deliver. At Crandall Medical Center, you are valued as a unique individual. We pride ourselves in meeting your personal needs every day. Our caring staff understands the little things in life are important, especially when you're not feeling well. Crandall Medical Center is located on the campus of Copeland Oaks Retirement Community in Sebring, Ohio. To learn more about Crandall Medical Center, please call 330-501-7162 or visit us on the web at www.copelandoaks.com. Again, the anytime information line is 330-501-7162.
Giant Eagle is thrilled to announce the grand reopening of their newly remodeled store in Salem. Now you have more delicious, fresh prepared food options to choose from, like made-to-order subs from their brand new sub shop, sushi, a new larger salad bar, and more. Plus, they've expanded their beer and wine selection and given the whole store a fresh new look. Join them at 2401 East State Street for their grand reopening celebration starting August 8th and see what all the excitement is about.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We are going to come at you politically. I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda, because your agenda is anti-American, because your agenda is anti-free market and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 36 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on the 19th. Hey, I want to wish my mom a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah, she's today she's celebrating her, I think, her 38th birthday.
She's 30 through like I am, I know.
Yeah.
What? 30 through.
No.
Yes. If you're 30 through, means you're through at your 30s. That's all it means.
But, yeah, I'm still in my 30s. What's up?
You ain't in your 30s, Negro. We don't say the bad N-word. word again, but we do use Negro every now and then.
No. I got a better one. I figured this out the other day, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
This is important.
Yeah.
See, let me tell you something. If you look at this succession, there was color, there was Negro, there was black, and then there was African American.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You really want to be, you want to be a Negro or you want to be colored?
Colored, okay.
Because colored folks, they never bounced checks. Colored folks always had a savings plan. They always was working hard. They were very, very independent. They were conservative, and they knew it. They were colored. Black folks had a lot of pride. They stood on their laurels, and they were moving forward. Negroes were a combination of both.
Stood up off their laurels, yeah. Laurels is your butt.
African Americans?
Mm-hmm.
Them people you need to work up, worry about. Hey, Diva.
Hey, Tracy.
Oh,
Jeff.
So Diva, are you still happy
yes.
with the are you still happy in your note with the president and the administration, the way things are going?
I haven't really been paying too much attention to a lot of stuff. I've been dealing with some stuff, so like with my health, so I haven't really been paying attention.
So how's your health doing?
I'm better.
How's everything going with your daughter going back to school?
She starts school Wednesday. She's in the eighth grade. I'm not happy because I'm not happy with the curriculum. It's very boring. It's very dry. I don't allow her to take PE.
Why?
Because my daughter is ADHD. And to get her into the gym, changing clothes, having to shower, and getting out of them clothes, it's going to cause her to have a difficult time, and they give demerits when they're late for class. It's just a big mess. So to prevent all of that, prevent me having to get calls to the school, I said, you know, I just don't want her to take a PE, but this year they're practically forcing me to, and I just feel like if I don't want my daughter taking a specific class, she shouldn't have to.
Okay.
So I'm contemplating pulling her out of public school and putting her into private school.
You know what you can do? You can ask them to ask them to help her do the a summer schedule so she can finish it next summer.
They don't offer summer classes like that.
Well, they need
for
to
eighth
accommodate.
Grade.
Yeah, they need to accommodate because I had the same problem with my daughter. Not because she has ADHD, but because she had an injury that she was, you know, she should not have been taking it, and we had to deal with it. And so they had to accommodate her.
Alabama, your mic is on.
How y'all doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just chilling. Just listening to everybody.
Did you guys go see the Butler this weekend?
No, I couldn't do it.
Why couldn't you do it?
I went up to Myrtle Beach this weekend, up in South Carolina. I ain't finna go out of town and go to no movies, but I can go to the movies at the house.
Listen to this. You guys, the National Black Republican Association has filed articles of impeachment against President Barack Obama.
Yeah, we did that last week.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did.
Well, good for them.
They ain't going nowhere.
Well, it don't matter.
But they did it.
It does matter. It matters to the fact that it matters when it comes to brand of the Republican Party. Remember, they filed impeachment against President Clinton and it backlashed.
He was impeached. don't.
Well, yeah, they impeached President Clinton.
You got to realize he didn't lie. Come on now, don't tell me he didn't lie.
No, but the thing is, the fact of the matter is, most of the country did not care about his sexual relations in the White House, and they felt that what the Republican Party and Ken Starr did in that regard was overreaching. And when they actually impeached him in the House, which held in the Senate, it backlashed against them. It didn't work on their favor.
It
hurt the Republican Party.
Hold on. And that wasn't the Republican and the Democrat thing. The man did lie, and it wasn't about his indiscretion. It was all about him lying.
No, but they should not have brought Senate hearings, congressional hearings about him having an affair with an intern in the White House.
Why
when
not? Because women, hold on, whoa. Now, which means to tell me, if I am a CEO of a business and I have a indiscretion with an intern who comes in to work for me, that should not be a part of the oversight?
The thing about it is, Tracy, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying personally it's right or wrong. What I am saying is most of the country felt that they were overreaching, that this is just another right-wing agenda to discredit President Clinton. That's what the majority of the country felt. Majority of the voters
just like,
felt.
Just like they feel like Weimer should be the mayor of New York, right?
Right. Wiener. Guess what?
When I saw the polls, Wiener dropped in the polls. So he's failed. So it's clear
that
but
they're saying black folks going to dig him out.
Yeah, black folks are going to dig him out.
I find that hard to believe. I don't think he'll be mayor. I do not believe he'll be mayor of New York.
South Carolina, your mic is on.
Great. Now, Mr. Wiener, he's toast.
You think so?
Yeah, 80% disapproval rating? Nah, he's toast.
Well, I mean, South Carolina, you know, black people are the toilet stool of politics. I mean, if you ever mess up, you can always come to black folks and get them to, you know, just say a couple of things about racism, and they'll vote for you. So, I mean, you never know. He might get you to, you know, I mean, look, we done voted for crack addicts. You know, people come in there, and I don't feel no way he's tired up in Selma, and people come out and vote for him. So, you know, I mean, you never can tell.
Excellent observation. Because that's true. All you got to do is wave that racism, or they're trying to stop us from voting, and then they come out. They're running to the poll. Yeah, we got to stop it. And then they don't do nothing the next election cycle. Nothing.
409, your mic is on.
Oh, I'm just listening.
Hey, how you doing, darling?
I'm doing all right. Hey, Tracy, one thing, though. You were saying about you know, the public schools being such an influence as opposed to an educator. You know, in my, because we homeschool, our whole thought is during the school year, on the weekdays from Monday through Friday, parents may see their kids an hour in the morning and a couple hours at night. And the kids are being influenced by school teachers, their peers, and everybody else about 8-9 hours a day. Knowing how influential little kids are, how do you expect what you're teaching them in those couple of hours to trump what everybody else is teaching them in the 8-9 hours that they're around them?
Because you ought to be teaching them so much, and as parents, we ought to have so much influence over our children, no matter what anyone says outside the house. The buck should stop with me.
But just in those couple of hours a day, it's just time. I mean, the kids, the more they're around other people, the more it's getting put in their heads. And really, once a kid gets home, how much is this parent really sitting down face-to-face, spending time with him, teaching him and raising him? I mean, really, I guess.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, 409, don't you feel like teaching a child a lot of times isn't necessarily sitting down and verbally lecturing them as much as it's being consistent and living it out? Now, this comes from a man with no kids.
I'm not talking about lecturing. No, not at all lecturing. I'm talking about FaceTime. You know, loving on them, playing with them, wrestling with them, reading to them. I mean, being a parent, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Well, part of being a parent is living out certain things. I mean, I saw my father do, even though he wasn't the best faithful-wise to my mother, he was out there. But at the same time, there were a lot of things I learned from him and her, not necessarily that they spoke, but just, you know, they kept us in the church, and that kind of kept us grounded to a sense. You know, it says raise a child up. So I think it's hard to try because schools are purposeful with what they're trying to do. When I heard a guy the other day say he doesn't believe in telling his child what to think. I think you have to because MTV is purposeful in what they're trying to tell you.
What I'm saying is we have to reprioritize what's important to us. And for those that have children, they need to make their children their priority. So even if they're going to school, you need to know what's being taught to them, and you ought to have a relationship with them that at dinner time you've got to sometimes sit down. You've got to sit down at least 3 or 4 times a week and have dinner with your children or breakfast with your children. But you got to take time. You got to spend time on the weekends with your children and have conversation. if you don't take that time, if you don't have that conversation, and if they're not, if you are not their shero or their hero, then you're really failing your children. And
okay.
That's what we have. I mean, it's not about so much of lecturing. It's just putting the time in so that when your child goes to school, if it goes against what you've already taught them, or they'll come home and say, listen, Mommy, or listen, Daddy, listen, this is what we learned, or when I ask them, how was your day today, or when I look at them and I'm finding out and I'm paying attention to their books and whatever, because we are now in a climate where they are indoctrinating our children with their own philosophy and not yours. That's why
that's
we have
people. That's what Cloud and Piven said. That's what they said, those Jewish guys that came over way back. What was it, after World War II, they said they were going to go after the education system, and they've succeeded. So,
and that's why I said, you know, even when you go and we talked about this box, you know, this movie called The Butler that came out this weekend, you know, I have major problem with it because they told half truth. So as historically sound as it might be, and how rewarding it may have become. But when you look at how they pictured some of these presidents along the way, they didn't tell the truth about all of them.
They sure didn't.
And that's a problem.
I was highly disappointed because they showed Richard Nixon basically as a drunk. They glorified Kennedy. I mean, they glorified Kennedy. And the first part of it, you know, it showed Lyndon B. Johnson, and he was using the N-word liberally. It showed, of course, you know, at the very end of the movie, it showed Barack Obama, and he was just, you know, showed him in a light that was really, really big thing. And it also showed Jesse Jackson, the interview that he did, I think it was either with CBS or NBC at the time, the night after Dr. King had been shot. They showed him, and it showed Jesse in a positive light. And of course, that was later refuted by Ralph Abernathy. They had Abernathy. They didn't have nothing of Abernathy. Period. Because Abernathy blew that whole thing down and said that Jesse wasn't there when he got shot and all the rest of the stuff. But you know, it was definitely very political. It was made to make a statement, and I was hoping that it was going to be a more accurately historical movie, but the guy had an agenda, and he got his agenda across very well, and I was just not too happy with the movie. So,
well, what movie have you seen where it was accurate? Like, The Kingdom of Heaven was supposed to have been some good portrayal of Saladin, the guy that won back the Holy Land. But, I mean, there was a lot of fallacies in that. I mean, it's just, that's Hollywood. So, I mean, when I first saw that movie, it influenced me because I hadn't really studied the history. I didn't know about the Crusades as much. So it just depends. I mean, Hollywood is going to do what Hollywood does.
This is my problem. When you are, we yell, as African Americans, we yell about not having accurate influence. When you know, being portrayed inside of cinematography and inside of Hollywood. We've heard this for years. And we talk about this ongoing. And we've yelled about it and we fought for it. And now we have the ability to have money to be put behind us. And we now are beginning to produce our own films. We are now beginning to become our own executive directors. And when we do have the ability to start telling the truth about our legacy and about history and correcting the wrongs of the past, we do something like this.
Well, Tracy, do you honestly believe that we're at a point of control now in Hollywood?
In some areas, yes. Because
where?
We now have, right now, this film right here, when you put the people in this film that you had, and you put the Forest Whitaker and the Oprah Winfrey's, and I can't think of who else is in here, but if you look at the casting of this film, when you put this film together, the money, the backing, the money to get for this, it all came, a lot of it came from a lot of big names. So they had the opportunity to correct a lot of the wrongs of it. And you didn't have to say that he was glowingly, you didn't have to paint him as a major racist, but you ought to tell a little bit of the truth of it and don't make him a glowing, effeminate person of yourself, because he wasn't. And I'm talking about
I'm just saying. I understand,
yes,
but I'm just trying to see.
Absolutely.
What?
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Absolutely, we have control.
Where? That's what I'm asking.
Because we paid for it. He who has the money makes the rules. We paid for this one. You know, when I look at Tyler Perry and Oprah teaming up, they have the money now. They have, when these guys have the money, they are making the films now. You can start telling the truth.
But there are certain things that we're only allowed to see.
Hold
on,
Alabama. Hold on, Alabama. South Carolina, what did you say?
When you got your own studio, you got your own network. Yeah, you can be a Harpo Productions is a big time organization.
And it's a major distributor.
Okay, let's take Tyler Perry for example. Tyler Perry is distributed through Lionsgate, right? Lionsgate gave us Precious, which was another Saw film, right? That was about like Saw. Right, the film was already shot and done before they brought Tyler Perry and Oprah on board for that movie, which was basically, I don't know, I can't even tell you how bad that was. A horrible movie, but look at it. It got nominated for more.
It was not a horrible movie.
It was a real movie.
It wasn't a horrible movie.
Wait. Now, statistically, how many people do we know that meet all those characteristics? I mean, the whole movie was just one bad thing after the next. What was uplifting about the movie? Wait a minute, whoa. They said, critics said the movie was uplifting. That movie, if you black and you go see that movie, you're walking out like, what the heck did I just go see?
No.
Come on, man. See, just because Tyler Perry, they brought them on there. And nothing. Hold on, another point. The title of the movie was, what was it? Precious, based on a novel by Sapphire. They'll never put the novel name in a title, but they put the novel in there to let you know you're about to see some real messed up stuff, but a black man wrote it, so you can chill out and not be all stressed and all up
Alabama,
and all about it.
Alabama, we need to see the real side of life. And that's some real stuff.
Man, come on.
Now, don't get me wrong. I did not like the movie for colored girls.
Yeah, that's
I did not like the film
that.
At all. Pardon me?
I was getting ready to mention that one.
I did not like that one.
Why do we have to see a girl that's got AIDS, or her parents, both of them messing with her, mama about to bust in her head and kill her any day?
Listen to what I'm saying. Because we need to do both.
You can't tell if she's pregnant.
Sweetheart, we need to do both. Because we need to tell the real side of life. It's okay to do a dramatization of it. But what I'm saying is that's some real stuff. I mean, we don't like to look at it, but those of us who have lived in a normalized, not as dysfunctional house, because all homes have dysfunction. But when we need to really be conscientious that there's some people out there they really got some jacked up lies,
okay.
And we need to quit faking the funk like they don't.
Okay. And why do we need to? Why does America? Why does that movie need to be nominated for more Oscars than any movie we ever
because
saw?
Because they transformed into those people. I mean, you got to understand that little girl who played Precious. You know, if you ain't never been in it, she asked, I cried.
Listen,
Doc.
I would cry too if the girl wasn't nothing going good for her. Every time you tell me, every 10 minutes something bad happens.
Okay,
I'm like, man, this ain't no hope for this girl.
You made a statement. Now I'm gonna tell you this. If you grow up and you know anything about inner city, of a big city, small, medium-sized city, you know that there are tons of cases like her. Now, the reason why I know it is my family. Listen, Doc. My family used to be 700 Club counselors. Okay? We counseled for a number of years for 700 Club. We got tons of cases like this, of people being abused in their house. They own daddy raping them. Their mama just turning the eyes, sometimes kicking the girl out of the house because
the mama got her doing it too. Now this is a different situation.
You ain't listening.
Go
to
ahead.
Me. I'm trying to
go
get
ahead.
You real life situations where one or two families I know of where the mama got a new boyfriend and the boyfriend messing with the girl and then she kicks the daughter out instead of kicking the man out. So where do you think her head is at now? Her head is burnt, and you got a ton of people out here just like that, And ain't nobody saying nothing to them. We know why? Because they don't know nothing about it. They don't even
believe. Let me ask you this. All right, I understand.
Hold on,
okay,
stop. I need to make sure 440 comes in before I can take my break. 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, I started to watch that movie, The Butler, and I had to get up and leave. It was a joke about John F. Kennedy. I mean, I think he was a bum, and I think his wife knew it, and I don't think she was all that upset when he did get killed. But I walked out about halfway through. It's the truth. I'm just saying just what I think. I mean, you know. I walked out about halfway through, and I went over and seen Man of Steel, and that was more believable. So
that's bad.
I got one question for you. The Muslim Brotherhood, why is everybody upset that the military in Egypt is kicking their rear ends? I mean, they're worse than anybody. Let that military over there kick their rear end. Who cares?
You know why.
You can't justify
they're burning
that.
Churches. They're killing Christians. Well, we're going to kick your ass.
but here's the thing. Here's the thing. From their point of view, they were democratically elected. That's what they're saying. There was a coup, and you can't call it by anything else but that it was a coup. And so they're upset, and rightfully so.
I'm not an Obama fan, but he's got this one right. Don't do a damn thing.
No, we don't have this one right, and this is why.
Hold on one at a time, because I only got a few minutes.
The Muslim Brotherhood is going to make sure that they take out of their agreements with Israel, number one, and then they will close the Suez Canal to you being able to get oil in and out of there, which is going to destroy our allies, not us.
But they're not
our allies. Huh?
They're not in power. The military is.
Well,
not
like I said,
Brotherhood.
The Muslim Brotherhood is who they want to restore back to power. Notice that they're going to let Mubarak. Notice that they cleared Mubarak, and they're going to let him go.
Yeah.
Understand that. That is huge to the dynamic of what's going on in that country. You had peace during Mubarak's reign. I don't care how many people they didn't like running it. He had a balance in the Middle East. This is going to be a mess, and your president created it.
Take a break. I'll be right back. South Carolina, the mics are open, guys. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Jeff, you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just soon let that military wipe out the Muslim Brotherhood. They're a thorn in the side to everybody.
Yeah, but there's a right and a wrong way to do it.
Well, you know what?
You got to agree with me on that.
When you see a lot of innocent people going down, you know, Sometimes even if they got to go through Congress to get a pass on this one, I don't know.
Let me tell you something funny.
The Muslim Brotherhood is there. He's there. They're there.
Well, one thing to be funny about this whole situation is I went to the presidential debate on a black college campus, and one of the instructors from the school, one of the professors or whatever, or doctor, whatever they call them, stands up before, I think, the third debate, which was the foreign policy, or second one, I can't remember. I think it was the second one. And he just made this decree of how great a job Obama was doing on his foreign policy and how everything is going in a good direction. And he said this in a room full of kids that were just being able to vote for the first time. So we're in trouble. We're not because I'm saying they all should vote Republican, but just in the sense that one side is being allowed to speak and bring a lot of people in ignorantly in without them thinking for themselves.
Well, I agree with that. I'm a Republican, and I mean, but this is the only thing is that I think what he's done as far as the Middle East has been a disaster. But on this one thing, him staying the hell out of it. It's been, you know. And
I mean, but we don't know. See, this is the problem. We don't know all the pieces. And so when the CIA is doing all types, so they kill and prop up different people all the time. I've heard Alex say on numerous occasions how they come in and take out different democracies. Yet we'll turn up and say we're pushing for democracy. And even the guy that blew up the Scotland Lockerbie bomber got released. That was for 44 billion barrels of oil. He got released. So one minute you're trying to push democracy and freedom and fight terrorism. The next, well, you know, they're one day they're good, one day they're bad guys. I mean, it's just whatever is most expedient for them, they're going to do. And these are the people that are going to – we're kind of like being siphoned off as guinea pigs for these people, for taxes, for you know, consumer goods, all types of stuff. They use us. So
who do you think shot down that airliner? Who do you think shot down that airliner outside of New York?
You're talking about the Pennsylvania?
No. It was before 9/11. It was years and years ago. It had taken off, and somebody said they seen a missile that went up and hit one of the engines from a boat.
That's Flight 800. That's Flight 800.
Is that it?
That was Flight 800.
Well, the thing is with government is we're never going to get the whole story. But we just know from pieces already that the media and what you hear and the main thing that we spend most of this time debating and arguing over is just it's bait and switch. It's a shell game. I mean, they put a peanut under a shell and got you. We fighting over that. Meanwhile, they got their hands in our pockets and doing what they want to do. So,
well, there's one thing to fight that, you know, and everybody's afraid to do it, and that's to have a new constitutional convention. We're two.
I heard we only two states off there.
That is a dangerous thing. It'll be a dangerous thing, but that's the only thing that was going to hold their feet to the fire. Everybody,
I think the Fed
would have to go through just to threaten them with it, where it's almost there.
Almost there, but they're bribing all the rest of the states to make sure it don't go through. So
I know. I know.
I mean,
I know.
Needless to say, it's probably the Democrat states holding it up. They stand more to lose if we restructure the government. You know, all this freak, all the stuff they're getting from the government.
Term limits. You know,
First, I think if we just abolish the IRS alone, I think America would probably that'll set us up for another 150 years. Just get rid of the IRS.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, look, even if we left the Fed intact, which would ensure our destruction if we do, we buy ourselves a lot of time. You know what I'm saying? A lot of time. If we just get rid of the IRS, just that one move alone.
It's just like the Obamacare, all right? You know what that is? It's Social Security. It's the new Social Security. It's another tax. It's money that they can draw off of. That's what it is. It's a way of taxing us. That's all it is. I mean,
well, they're taking cuts on Social Security now. I mean, people. I mean, if you make over $1,100 a month, then you don't get Social Security. They force you to live on I think it's $1,400. If you make over $1,400, you don't get Social Security.
Right.
Because you can only work part time. Yeah, it's your money. Yeah, we took it, but we're telling you how. And they're gonna do the same thing with health care. I mean, you know, people.
You know how many people work under the table for cash? It's amazing. It's truly amazing.
I mean, but what you going to do with your health when they say, okay, well, you can't eat this or do this or you know, you're not going to get health care?
Oh,
I mean, I know that sounds far-fetched.
Exactly.
You guys realize that when you talk about Social Security, there are basically three types of Social Security. And they work differently. They're not all the same. They're all paid into the same. They're paid into one pot, but they're broken down into three separate entities, and they work differently. So for Social Security for retirees, no, you can't work, and you're going to get a certain amount based on how much you've paid into your entire work history. When it comes to disability, you qualify for it at any age. As long as you worked and you paid into enough Social Security, you can continue to work for up to 9 years on that.
Okay.
I think it's 9 years. Don't quote me. It's either 3 years or 9 years. You can work. It's called a ticket to work program where you can work, but if you work consistently for, they give you 9 years to try to work, but if you work consistently.
And you're talking about disability now, right?
Yes, I'm talking about disability.
Right.
Then
okay.
It would cut you off. Then you have SSI, which is a program for people who are disabled but have not ever worked or they have not paid enough into Social Security when they become disabled. So they get a small stipend, and they can also work, but they can't work no more than 20 hours per week.
Well, my thing is, if someone is disabled, if there are people that are truly in need like that, then nobody's saying throw them out. Not even Ron Paul's saying that. He was saying wing people off. But as far as the Social Security, my problem with Social Security is if you're taking money, because it was supposed to be during World War II, it was just to help the war effort. Now they're taking it guaranteed. They'll never come off it. So every time you work a 9-to-5, they take their money. And then when you get a certain age, oh, we're going to put stipulations on that. You can't have this. You can't have that. You can't. But my bills, no, I have a mortgage that's X. No, you can only make 14. That's the problem. So you're forcing people to live on a fixed budget,
hey guys,
which is cool.
The maximum Social Security benefit, if you go out at the full retirement age, is 2533. If you go out early, that's where the limit is. But you'll make $500.
My mom right now cannot live. They told her, she called me upset. They told her she can't make but a certain amount per month working. And
yeah,
she has a certain amount of bills, and she's saying, okay, well, I'm kind of, that's, you know, I don't mind helping her out because that's the way it should be. But I'm just saying that I don't think that's because it's her money they took in the first place.
Well, no, here's
the
thing.
But see, you
people better realize
that. You only get paid a certain percentage of what you put in.
Yeah, when people get their Social Security, say like
okay.
You're 65 and you're starting to draw your retirement and you live till you 90, you're drawing Social Security for about 35 years. You have not really paid into.
Oh, okay, but what I'm saying is if you take that money that they're taking out of people's checks and just put, let's just say 4% interest on it. From the time they're 18, 19 to 65, I think they'll come out a lot better. And then you divide that out, assuming on what is it, the amnesty, whatever it is, they figure out the indemnity. How okay this person may is supposed to maybe, let's just say they get 35 years, like you said, and divide it out. Then I just don't see how we can't tell that person. You're gonna tell that person what? Well, put stipulations on it, because what happens
okay.
is a person that has a certain amount of income. They get to keep that money now. So there are a lot of people that they just get to keep the money.
Now, you got,
you know, there's,
you got
a,
oh, if you die at 62 years old,
a lot of money.
If you die at 62, they get to keep
it.
Come on, man.
If you reach full retirement age and you retire, okay, you can make up to $15,120 a year or $1,260 a month. After you go above that $1,260 a month, they're going to take away, for every $2 you make, they're going to take $1 away from your Social Security benefit.
Right.
So if
that's
you're making,
wrong.
So on but, top of you getting full retirement benefits, you can make about $1,200 extra per month.
Full retirement
right.
From what, though?
Full retirement. When you reach full retirement age, when you actually reach retirement age, which is what, 65 now?
67.
Yeah.
67. So if you turn 67, you and you worked, say from the time you were 16, 20, all the way to you were 67, you are drawing your full retirement benefit amount. So when you're drawing your full retirement benefit amount, you can also make up to $1,200 on top of that. Because the full retirement,
yeah.
Like South Carolina said, is $2,533.
Well, I mean,
so
you know what?
I'm
living in Alabama.
No, Diva, that's not the right number.
No,
it's
I was clarifying. I was asking
Diva,
a question. I was.
I know, but it's based upon your highest years of service, I believe it is, if I'm not mistaken.
But then also, I'm saying if you live in a certain state, where property taxes are $300-$400 a month off the, before you even get out to bed in certain areas. Certain states, gas is $4. I mean, $2,500 to $2,500 a month for certain people and don't have a mortgage. Now okay, you see what I'm saying? Do you want to leave the house to your kids? You don't want to do a reverse mortgage. Now you're getting into a different situation. And who are we as the, who is the government to limit that? I think that person's work, they should be, okay, I understand we can revamp it and do something, but they taking this money and they giving it to people, then they spending it. The money's not there. So, I mean, the numbers just don't work.
Is there a bad Ponzi scheme?
Exactly.
Social Security.
But you can't, you cannot say that the government has to pay an individual what the individual wants.
It's not what they want, but then you could take it and divide it out a certain, you could say, okay, because the life expectancy at the time when they gave it to us was 55. So they thought they were slick anyway. Now they talking about pushing it up to 75.
Exactly. Exactly.
They don't want to give you your money. They want you to die off and they want to keep it. That's what it's about.
I have to agree with that, Alex. I have to agree with
that.
It was
the originally being 62.
Well, if we're looking at Social Security, what the heck do you think what health care is going to be like?
Well, that's what I just said. it's a new Social Security.
Yep. Yeah, that's what health care is going to be.
No. Health care is going to be like the VA.
It's going to be worse than the VA.
It can't be worse than
it's
the
too
VA.
Many people.
Yeah, it can't be. Believe you me.
It can't be worse than the VA.
I find
bad.
It hard to believe in the fact that we have Medicaid and Medicare that just is working just fine.
You hadn't put 300 million people
on
it.
No. It's not working just fine, Diva. It's not working just fine.
If you talk to an individual who gets Medicaid, trust me, with my current health conditions and I'm on Medicaid,
Medicaid
it works
from
fine for me.
But the thing is, Diva, you can always anecdotally find individuals that find a program. Just like in Canada, in London, you can go over in England. I mean, in the UK, you can find people and say, well, hey, I'm fine. But there are problems, systemic problems, with the system as a whole. And that's all they're saying. They're not saying that there aren't individuals that, you know, my mom's on it. So there are certain things she gets done, fine. But there are problems in certain areas. It's not
but let me say
talk.
This.
Yeah.
You don't have 300 million people on it.
But
yeah.
Hold on, but here's the problem. Diva. Whoever you put your trust in, whoever governs your health care and your well-being, is in control of you.
Absolutely.
And the problem is not how well they take care of you today, but how well will they take care of you tomorrow when they can't pay for it tomorrow. And when you charge the system the way they're getting ready to do that, and you don't have enough doctors for the population, and you're going to make it to where your doctors are not going to be able to have private practices, and they're going to be employees of someone else. We're up for something that we're not prepared for, and we're not being honest about the system not being prepared for what's happening. Then you have to look at the bureaucracy that they're putting inside of this. There's a reason why people in Congress want to come off of the Affordable Health Care Act and start their own.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Tracy. I mean, the most powerful lobbyist in Washington is the medical lobbyists. The pharmaceutical lobbyists. They're setting this up for themselves.
Actually,
now they're gonna get government contracts.
Actually, no. Actually, the most powerful lobbyists in Washington are your insurance companies. That's why they did not go after them.
Yes.
And they went after the medical.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Hey, there's a reason.
Right.
You have to realize your medical. They were not the medical people at the insurance companies actually wrote the law. So they reformed medicine instead of reforming the insurance companies. What they should have done is gone after the insurance companies and let the medical alone.
If insurance was the most powerful,
you
we wouldn't have had this bill in the first place, Tracy.
Both lobbies are extremely powerful.
You are right. But insurance is more powerful than your medical.
Well, see, I think the problem is
Alabama, you and I are not the only ones on the line. I got 17 other people on this line. Hold up. You just have to understand that we have
about the VA.
And BNC's been doing a great job of keeping his mouth shut. So
he's doing really well.
Right, it's hard.
VA,
go ahead, 440.
On the VA, all I can say is that the Cleveland VA has been really good for me. I know that they've had other problems in the rest of the country, but they've done a wonderful job, every time I've gone down there, every time I see them working with people, I can't say anything bad about the VA in Cleveland. I don't know what it's like anywhere else, but
when I speak about the Veterans Administration, I'm not talking about the facilities at large. What I'm talking about is the people who are still waiting to get benefits and get on.
Well, I went through 4 years of
That was terrible for me.
Once you get on, they may take care of you, but you might die while you're waiting.
Terrible for me to get on it. Honest to God.
Tracy, it didn't take me long at all. I mean, I had a documented service connected injury, and I had a copy of my medical records, and from the time that I went to the VA until the time that I received my first benefit was exactly 91 days.
Alabama. There are 9,000, if I'm not mistaken, persons waiting on the waiting list, trying to get in the system still to this day, going all the way back to the Korean.
Behind.
The second, very much so. That's crazy.
Yeah, they're behind. You're very
and
right.
That's what it's going to be for your Unaffordable Health Care Act as well. You have to understand that you went from 2,500 pages to now 17,000. To implement the doggone thing, and then he keeps pushing things off so it doesn't affect him politically because he knows it's going to destroy people. What's getting me, and then he's talking about the Republicans just want to end it to destroy people. The fool, you put the thing in place and let it happen. But he won't do that because he knows they'll lose everything in the midterms if this thing is implemented.
How about we come to a solution where we don't get rid of the health care, we fix the problem. Like Tracy said, we don't have enough doctors. Okay, the reason why we don't have enough doctors is, one, medical school is so expensive.
That's not why.
I know a lot of people who would love to go to medical school but can't afford it. My sister switched over to nursing because she couldn't afford medical school.
There are grants and loans out there for people who are trying to go to medical school, but you have to make the grade.
Grants and loans are a joke. You come out and you graduate, and then you're $60,000 in debt. And then you're working to pay that off. And then the grants are a joke now because you barely get anything now.
Diva, $60,000 for a doctor.
Worth of debt.
$60,000 for a doctor is cheap. That's
Diva,
for a doctor.
Diva, ain't no $60,000 loan.
Okay,
out there,
all right.
For medical.
$60,000.
I was just a ballpark figure. You guys are concentrating on the amount. The fact of the matter is, you're going to school to do something that you would love to do, but then you come out and you got all this debt, and then the insurance premiums for doctors are sky high.
And whose fault is that, David? Your party doesn't want tort reform.
The insurance premium started skyrocketing prior to President Obama getting into office. Because I remember the psychiatrist I used to work for was complaining about how much his premiums was going up.
Diva, hold on. When they got the free education bill, when they got like with the grants, when that came through, education has outran insurance. But nobody's saying anything about that. It's more expensive for education than insurance. Insurance is actually cheaper than education. Education used to cost as much as a car, a $20,000 car. That's all you should pay for 4 years of education. It's five, six times that much now.
So the fact of the matter is, who's raising the cost of education? Can you say government subsidies? It's so easy.
To point a finger.
So because of all this
you have these very complex situations, and healthcare, education, and it's so simple to point your finger at one thing. It's the unions. It's the Republicans. It's the Democrat. These are real complex things, and I think it's greed.
I think it's greed.
But who's greedy? And who's controlling and who's making the plan?
Whoever's sitting on the board of those colleges. That's who's greedy. No, because you said you have influx of money coming in. You're going to raise tuition. When I was going to YSU,
you're not listening. You can't just throw something out there and say boards and commissions are making money.
Right.
People that sit on the board, the board of trustees, they don't make any money.
Well, who's in charge of raising the rates? Who's getting the money when the pay
goes
up?
Listen, you want to, listen. The system is broken because the same way the system is broken in your elementary education also.
Right.
The cost of doing business.
Howdy.
The cost of doing business has skyrocketed so much that you don't have a choice in what you do and where your money goes. Because when you start giving out when I say unions, I'm looking at you have union contracts for professors. When you go to build something, you have to use a union contract there. You've got to pay people to do what they're doing. You've got to have every time there's something goes on, all this stuff adds into the cost of doing business for a university as well as for a school district.
So the president is getting paid $2 million. I don't even want to think about how much the President Gee was getting paid before he set to retire here at OSU. While it costs about.
What about the football coaches?
I know how much to go to Ohio State.
But the football coaches bring in revenue. You're missing that. When you look at Trussell, or any other football coach, they bring in the money.
They bring in money.
The president of the school isn't doing anything to bring in revenue.
But you're paying that person for their expertise.
Yeah, they actually are. They actually
do. $2.4 million to do what?
Stephen Sample at USC was an amazing fundraiser. He's not the president anymore, but yeah, they're active in fundraising. They're good fundraisers.
They bring in money, Diva.
Okay, but $2.4 million.
Again, I don't necessarily agree with the amount that they might get paid, but they get paid. That's why you have your bigger universities making larger money.
If you bring in $12 million, you're worth $2.4 million. You have to understand that. Yeah, that's how it works.
So we blame the skyrocketing cost of tuition on the government because the government is giving people.
I'm gonna tell you why.
That's an awful lot of money for a state university, though.
I think if you correlate the amount of their tuition prices when they started giving away that stuff, it went up. So I mean, it is a factor.
Tuitions are inflated. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're inflated because of all the free money out there. There's so much free money out there. They know that these students are going to pay. Pay the price.
You're getting people in debt. Listen to what you're saying.
Now let's really break this down. One, we have overemphasized a college education to where right now we need people who are craftsmen and they won't go to school and become a plumber and a pipe fitter.
Or we could do like Newt Gingrich said that everyone should just go be a janitor, right?
No, but come when on. You're in high school, no, wait a minute, hold on.
That was a cheap lie right
when
there.
You're in high school, this is a show full of cheap shots. So just
no,
take
no, that's
from
a
the
cheap
other
lie.
Side.
That
you guys
a
take
cheap
shot
shots
all
lie.
The time. So just take
that's
a cheap
what,
shot.
When you're in
you
high
said
school,
it. So let's not. So let's call the cheap shot.
No, you're playing games. But see, you're playing games and you're playing stupid games, and it doesn't make sense.
One that calls in on this show, the majority of people take cheap shots and plays games and makes jokes. So loosen
no,
up.
No, that's not a joke because he didn't tell you to become a lawyer. He told those kids to get a work ethic, which many of them don't have, that they should allow them to be the janitor's assistants and things like that in the schools
black people
that they hire through the unions now
to.
And pay.
All right.
It was a very excellent
and
I'm not
so
that
well
great of a
right.
Newt fan.
And that's why he did so well in the election because everybody
no,
believed
it like
that.
No, people don't like common sense.
Listen, let's break this down. Now, let's really think about this. Right now, you pay someone almost $25 an hour to go throughout the schools, the public schools, to empty trash and to sweep the floors down and to do the simple maintenance. You realize that, right?
That ain't no simple maintenance. Have you ever worked as a janitor?
Yes.
That's work.
Yes, I have.
I know. And it's not
that's hard, grueling, nasty, dirty work.
I wouldn't do it. And a lot of people in this country don't do it. That's why the Mexicans come over.
And that's why I got to pay that $25 an hour so that somebody would be willing to do that work.
No, Diva, it's because America has become too lazy. That makes no sense.
Too lazy.
When you can have a work program where young people can go
and
learn a work
ethic. We too uppity. She right. I'm too uppity to touch a broom. You're right. I see a lot of folks think like that. I don't, but a lot of people do. So
I wouldn't want to. My
Diva,
sister did the janitor program in school.
What?
I wouldn't
and
do
then,
it.
We didn't say clean the toilets. I said empty trash and dust
it,
around.
It all
and
comes
clean
together.
Toilets.
It's low. It's lowly work. It's lowly work. It's nothing. When you're a kid,
you
don't think about that. That's the kind
like
of work
it.
You want to do.
Tracy, at the end of the school years, I was always the guy that was the janitor's assistant in grade school. Hear me? Where I made my little couple dollars for myself for summertime. I worked 3 weeks after school closed, and we wrapped books up, okay, in brown paper or newspaper. We helped sweep the halls. We cleaned the light fixtures, and we cleaned the toilets. There's nothing wrong with that, and you got paid a little stipend, and that was for you. You had, you know, money to buy some school clothes, money to
Jeff, that's old school, though,
with.
Jeff.
Huh?
That's old school. That's old school. That makes sense,
well,
and I like what you just said.
Should be the now school.
And you're right. A lot of people, Jeff, don't want to work there. Rather sit around and get paid off a check because something's beneath them. A lot of times, a job being beneath you, let me make this point, a job being beneath you will motivate you to go to school at night, will motivate you to go and do something so you don't have to do that anymore. But
absolutely.
Or do whatever.
How you
but a lot of people, they think they're too good for it.
When you're depressed and you're dealing with depression and stress because of your job situation.
Nick, what did they do before? I mean, before all these different diagnoses of these diseases, I'm depressed, I'm this, I'm that. People were depressed thousands of years ago. They did the same thing in Babylon that they do now.
Yeah, but
Dude,
we didn't
I,
know.
Look, you're talking to somebody that done went through some stuff,
the,
and I done had
we,
to
we
figure my way out the hole.
Like
so I done
do
dug
now.
My way out the hole before. So I'm sorry. Forgive me if I'm not just... Oh, I understand. You know, maybe
not
you shouldn't.
Not everybody
go
is like Alex, and that's the problem. You can't.
Alex ain't on here.
I'm Alabama.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. But you
no,
can't
you're good,
think
you're
that
good.
Is made or thinks as you do. Not everybody is built that
but
way.
But you need
not
to get a jobby
has,
job because Alex. You, listen, just because you don't like your job does not mean you should go home and get a check and somebody should pay you to stay home because you don't like to work in that kind of,
because
and you don't want to get
you.
An education.
Most people are not sitting at home collecting welfare checks.
Most people are not sitting at home collecting a welfare check.
And I have a huge family. I have a
Diva,
extremely
what?
Huge
Diva,
this
Diva,
family.
Diva,
I don't know anyone who
something like
check.
42% of Americans right now are receiving 52 are receiving some
that's
type
food
of
food stamps is not the same as a welfare check. Food stamps
and
welfare checks are
and
the majority of people are working
figure,
for collecting food stamps.
And that food stamp figure has gone up like 75% in the past 5 years.
That's because they lowered the income requirements, and people who are working still qualify.
There was also, an economy that collapsed before your eyes that no one seems to remember. And it's not that long ago.
The thing is that the economy collapsing was a cyclical thing anyway.
Not the way that it collapsed this time, Tracy.
Can I finish, please?
The things that happened this past time around.
I'm not done with my statement. The collapse of the economy was a cyclical thing anyway. And yes, because of the aftermath of the two wars that were fomented for the reasons of... you did have more money that we owed. But it was cyclical. It would have recovered extremely well by now if he hadn't thrown wet blankets on there by raising taxes, creating this foolish health care law that's going to do nothing but soak business and put people out of work. And the more people you have out of work, he has to buy their vote, so he gives away food stamps. That's what he's doing. He gives away food stamps, and he gives away doggone phones. And that's... Yeah, he gave me a phone.
All right, so where's the proof
in all
that you just said? You gave us your opinion, but you didn't give us any proof or any statistics And I know you're a guy who likes to
because
stick
they don't
facts.
Have, they don't
I
have
hear
any
none.
Proof. That, because
oh,
that's
no,
the narrative.
No, actually,
that
actually, when
that's
the
narrative
clear,
that appeals
stop,
to people.
Stop,
Alabama,
no, you can back,
no, no,
you can back
Brown,
what he just said, though.
No, Alabama, stop. Stop. Let's give the rules of order right now. You have to listen to one another that you do not step on everybody while they're talking. Please.
Right.
Don't tell me right. Just do it.
Well, why don't you suggest, like, give everybody the floor and give them a minute?
I will if I call your name. If you want me to do that, I will call your name out for you to speak.
It might work better.
Can I tell you what? This is not your turn. Go ahead, Alabama.
No, I was just saying that in the 70s, we had a real major downturn of the economy. That it's a struggle between which one is the greatest, but we're kind of teetering on those numbers during the 70s when we had Carter was in office when it went down like it did. So
go ahead, Diva.
I just want to say that the number of if you look at how the welfare system how welfare people can say welfare and when you say welfare there's so many you have to break it down so many aspects. The 47-52 million people, however that number is, it's on food stamps. Those are not people who are sitting at home just collecting a check. Majority of those people work. It used to be that if you worked at a fast food restaurant making $8 an hour with one to two children, you did not qualify for food stamps depending on where you lived. Now they've lowered the income guidelines to where now you can qualify on food to get food stamps making $8, $10 an hour. That's why so many people
are on it. Why did they do that, Diva?
Because people are hurting. People lost good jobs now. They had to go to fast food. The economy.
Diva.
The economy
stuff.
I think they should have been done it like that. Because depending on where you live, $8 to $10 an hour,
hold on.
You only got enough to pay your bills. You're lucky if you could buy food.
Diva. So
I thought it was a good thing.
Hold on. No, it's not a good thing. Because I should not be paying a teenager $8 to $10 to work at McDonald's.
Right.
I said it one at a time. It's my turn. And nor should I be paying a person who's 35 years old $8 to $10 to work at McDonald's either. Because the person 35 should not be working at McDonald's trying to feed a family of four.
Precisely.
Go ahead, Brown.
The collapse of 2008, the only comparison, and it's been a boom-bust economy for many years, with housing and the way that the large investment in the packaging of mortgage-backed securities that were sold to governments and banks and municipalities all over the world, when those collapsed, nothing compares except to the Great Depression. Our economy now is more sophisticated and more diverse, and they've got more tricks up their sleeves.
Now let's go back to why it collapsed.
The point I was just making is that the collapse of 2008 is far greater and far bigger, and you see the after effects of it to this day. The economy hasn't been able to pick up. It wouldn't have mattered who was in office.
Hold on. But it was a government manufactured collapse.
Was.
You know,
because you asked me to let you talk, and I'm going to take a break.
You simplified everything. You simplified
It was a congressional manufactured collapse that could have been altered and changed. It was bad legislation again, bad laws again, made by Congress again.
What bad law?
Mark to market.
I can think of
mark
bad
to
laws.
Market. That's the bad law. That's what collapsed your economy. The mark-to-market that allowed the banks to write off a full portfolio instead of just their bad loans. They couldn't
do
the
whole. What about Glass-Steagall?
Glass-Steagall.
What about NAFTA? This is an orchestrated effort.
SOM AM 600. The number 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
I'm just trying to figure out. How she thinks somebody working at fast food shouldn't be paid $8 to $10 an hour?
Because if you own a business and you're trying to make payroll and you go into business, you don't go into business to say I'm going into business to feed family. You're going into business to make money, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And I completely get that. And if somebody comes from that standpoint,
okay.
I'd be like, I may not agree with it, But I can understand that mindset. Just be honest about it. Be honest about it.
Why do you not agree with it?
Most Republicans, most capitalists or pro-capitalists, let me say this. Most Republicans on Congress or most Republicans other than you, Alabama, do not keep it straightforward when it comes to I'm in business just to make money. It's not about me feeding your family or taking care of you. I'm going to pay you what I want to pay you so that I can make what I want to make. That's what it's about.
Well, it's not. That's not how they look at it. They look at it as I'm going to pay you what you agree to come in here and work for. You agree by coming in and working for that amount to work for that amount. So
you know
there's nothing wrong
you know
if
something.
2 years later
and before,
you want to come in and say, I need twice that. I can't live off that.
And before there was
legislation that guaranteed a minimum wage, and before there was unions, somebody working in fast food should not make $8 to $10 an hour. I don't know if she's ever worked in fast food. I worked in fast food. Working fast food for 8 hours, 5 days, 6 days a week, that's not – I worked in both as a crew member and as a manager. That's – and then to say it should only be teenagers and young people, I'm sorry, as a manager, those are the ones I didn't want on my crew. Why? Because
let me ask you this, Diva. What fast food you worked at? Where you worked at?
I worked at Rally's before they closed down.
Rally's, did everybody that worked at Rally's, did they pay the same amount to everybody that worked or were there people making six figures that worked at corporate or wherever?
It depends. The crew member, depending on how long you've been there. You made a certain amount.
I'm just saying the general manager of the place usually made what $50,000-$60,000 something like that.
No, general manager.
Okay, so the thing I'm trying to make, and this is the point that the guy that wrote Napoleon Hill made, was you have to work on the person, not the business. The person, you need to come and get the qualifications so that you can make that same amount of money too.
My problem with Tracy was that she said no one working in fast food meant a crew member should be making $8 to $10 an hour.
She didn't mean every person that works there should make $8, $7. No, she didn't mean everybody. I bet you can ask her when she come back.
Okay, well, we can ask her to clarify because that's my problem that you're saying. No, I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about crew members. I'm talking about people who are cooking the food, who are serving the food,
When I get a part-time job, if I wanted a part-time job on the weekends, I expect to make $8 to $10. I don't go in there expecting to make $20.
It all depends on what you know how to do. It all depends on what you know how to do and what your skill set is.
If you can wait on tables, you can make $20 an hour just waiting on tables.
But the point
if you knew how to consult and help someone and give someone information and run their business, you can get $100 an hour.
I'm talking about is fast food restaurants, and I'm talking about the crew members because we all seen the strikes where they're striking and trying to raise the wage up to $15 an hour for fast food workers in certain places.
Let me ask you guys a question, and let's look at it a little bit broader. In Alabama, we'll look at things a little bit broader. Why do they have set laws for a minimum wage?
Because it's an easy thing to kick around and get people's emotions involved.
Why do they have protections for employees on workplaces?
In this country and all over the world,
there's been child labor. Okay. Look at the way Rockefeller ran his oil company. Okay.
Yeah, a guy in the 1800s. You're right.
Right. Well, that continued. They had to fight tooth and nail just to get workers.
Those families are the same guys that set up this banking system.
And the same spirit. Yes, when someone's in business, they want to make as much money as possible. Absolutely.
I agree, but the problem is they use the government to cheat.
As least as possible.
No. They use the government to cheat and set themselves apart from other people by getting the Federal Reserve involved. That wasn't free. They blame capitalism. That was corporatism.
That was corporatism.
They used the government to cheat. They didn't just say, okay, I just want to work and earn. They said, no, I'm going to stop other people from making money, and I'm just going to be the only guy doing this. That's why we're paying a power bill to this day.
You're talking about monopolies. And you're right. That's happened too. So as far as being
he's
fair,
not talking about monopolies.
Well,
that just went over your head.
Okay.
No, he's not talking
Alex
about
monopolies.
You know what? Maybe I misunderstood him. Not much goes over my head. You're not that much smarter than me.
I'm not saying I'm smarter than you. I'm just saying
what
you
saying?
Said. You dismissed.
You guys
you
are dismissive. You guys are dismissive.
I'm completely confused and baffled as to where the conversation went. Cause
well, what,
now
I,
you
maybe
guys,
I misunderstood him, but don't insult me and say something's going over my head.
I just
have misunderstood or didn't hear it correctly.
Okay. All right. My apologies.
Well, explain what happened. Explain what I didn't understand.
He's saying that they use the government to cheat. Basically, they use government force to make sure to ensure their interest. That's what the Federal Reserve is. That's what a lot of these government contracts are, where people in certain positions they can get Congress get government to force business their way and things like that. And that's what he's saying. It's not the same as a monopoly.
No. But
agree
that
with
is
that.
Part of the reason why monopolies had to be broken up. No, my what I said was off base. I didn't really get to hear clearly what he was saying.
But how
as far as intelligence, can I make a point about intelligence? Because everybody on here giving their opinion and my thing with intelligence is this, man. I mean, I don't care if a person's smarter than me. I just need something I can use, and I'm not stupid. As long as I'm not stupid, you can have an IQ 60 points, 80 points higher than me. As long as I can use information to get where I want to go in life, I can care less. Just like another person having more money. If you're not going to use that money to help me, I don't want to hear about what you got. So, I mean, I don't think Alex, anybody on this, for that matter, is on here trying to belittle somebody's intelligence level. Unless you just outright say it, and I don't think that's what Alex meant by coming in and saying that.
No, it's not. That's not what I meant.
Hold on, Diva. Hold on. Let him finish. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, she came back.
Yes.
Hey, Tracy. How you doing?
Hey, Alex. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. You know, I think the conversation it's interesting. I think that people. What I was going to really get to is people don't understand that, like, economics and about what actually drives up wages, what actually increases wages, what decreases them. And you really have to you can't just demand that people have they should get $10 or $15 an hour. That's not what increases wages. What increases wages is the need for that labor. It's really the scarcity of that labor and the knowledge that's needed for that particular job. You know, so I just think that, you know, when people demand more higher wages and things like that, I feel for them because they're also suffering from from an economy that's been distorted so much by government intervention that most people are not able to make a living. So I feel for them, but what they're asking for isn't really a solution to the problem. It's actually more of the same problem of government interventionism distorting the economy and markets.
Not only that, the problem is the problem, or the solution is the problem. Here in Ohio, when they put the cost of living wage and minimum wage in the Constitution based upon market measures, every year that an minimum wage goes up, every time you go and get a burger, I went and bought some potato chips, that 99-cent bag. it's $1.49.
There ain't no 99-cent bag again.
And when you get,
but they put two chips in it.
I'm serious. I bought some chips the other day, and I told you guys. No, seriously, they blew in the bag, and you thought the bag was full of chips. And
right?
What they did was they used some old bags, and they dropped two slices of potato in it and called it potato chips. And they would have put one, but they had S on the end, and they didn't want to make me feel like I was real stupid. That's a problem. And it's all based upon we have allowed the government interference, going back to what I said, even with the collapse, the economic collapse of 2008.
Hold on a second. How are you connecting a bag of potato chips to government interference?
Listen to what I'm saying.
please do that for me.
Can I
explain you clear?
Alex, go ahead and explain. No, because see, I want Alex to, because he's a real calm voice. I want Alex to explain my chips.
You can scream and holler. There's no concern.
No,
I want you to
connect.
Brown, I
don't have much time. You're wasting time talking to me. Shut up.
I want you to connect. I want you to
connect. Go ahead.
You're
dropping the
multiple
ball. You can't explain it.
No, there's multiple factors. I mean, for one, inflation.
She likes to make the simplest version as possible.
Go ahead, Alex.
For one, you have inflation that's caused by the government because they keep printing money, and so prices are going up. But that's direct government involvement when they continue to print money, the cost of everything is going up. So then you can't just demand that people should be paid more when things are costing more, but you don't want the prices to go up. So then you get these kinds of distortions where, well, they got to put less chips in the bag, and that's just the reality because the cost of everything is going up compared to the U.S. dollar, which the government is distorting. And then on top of that, when you have minimum wages continue to go up because a state says, well, you need to pay people more, well, now you're increasing my costs, you're devaluing my money, so my money buys less and less by the year. So then that's what continues, so then the cost of that potato chip bag will increase eventually because the minimum wage is being forced up arbitrarily by the state, and the state is also devaluing my currency now, and I can buy less and less. It's these fundamental things about economy that people aren't looking at. They're just saying, I need more money, but they're not looking at the reason why they need more money.
This is true. And not only that, whenever you have the false raising of wages by a union where it doesn't matter whether you produce or not, and you have the false raising of minimum wage, just like we were talking about, when you raise the minimum wage,
you raise every wage.
You raise everything, because businesses don't eat that. They charge it off, and that's why you make less, because you're trying to buy that same hamburger you bought last week before the minimum wage increase, and it's gone up 20-30% because of a stupid minimum wage that should not be there. You should have an entry level wage. Listen to me. An entry-level wage for certain jobs, and certain jobs should be a minimum wage if you want to set a minimum wage. If you want to set that $8, $9, $10 an hour, well, set it on particular types of jobs where the profit is built in. It is not built into fast food.
Who's going to work these entry-level jobs?
High school students, like they
always
have.
Who's going to work it while they're in school?
Then the junior high school students and the elementary school students. If it were up to these
women,
people,
but my question
the way they're
is
talking, they'll have child labor.
Like
they'll have
sound
child
idea.
Labor.
Brown, stupid. Brown, that's stupid. Brown, I am not playing with you
it's
today.
It's not what's stupid. What's stupid
no,
is these
No, what's stupid is you're talking on top of Diva. Go ahead, Diva.
My question to you, Jeff, is who's going to work those entry-level jobs while high school students are in school? Are they going to shut down through the school year? Are they going to shut down through the school day to work it?
No.
How's it going to work?
A senior citizen can work them. They want something. Listen, all senior citizens don't want to come out just to make money. They want to work because there's something to do and something to do with themselves. And it's not those are not meant to be jobs to take care of families. Those
Jeff,
are entry level jobs.
Enough,
Diva, time.
You have plenty, Diva. You won't listen.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. Why? Who the heck you think worked it before?
And then come back. Can you just do
that?
Yeah,
no, I can't do that because you proved them right. You proved them wrong so quickly because all you have to do is bring common sense. The thing is who do you think worked those jobs in the first place before you had minimum wage?
Not only that, you realize that we have screwed up the waitressing to where you tax people based upon what they should make and not what they do make.
Right, and their tips. You tax their tips. That's craziness.
I mean, they tax their tips. Even if you don't leave a tip, they're going to be taxed on your tip because you're supposed to leave one.
Have you ever managed a restaurant or a fast food restaurant? That's the question. As managing a fast food restaurant, that one, your number one worker is not the high schooler or the senior citizen. Most managers don't want to deal with them. The owner does
your time, sweetheart.
For cheaper and labor.
Diva,
but when it comes to the actual labor, that's labor.
Go before your time. Remember, Jeff comes out of another era than you. We're not talking about the average worker when you were managing a McDonald's.
I don't care.
No, Jeff.
Tracy. Thank you very much.
Fast food. When Jeff's generation, when they were working in fast food, the market measures were correct. By the time it got to you, Diva, in the 90s, it was all screwed up then.
Once again,
so
though,
his
Tracy,
premise I, that you put high schoolers in these entry-level jobs for senior citizens, it might sound good in his head, but it ain't going to work in real life.
It works in real life, Diva. What I'm saying to you is I don't need to go back to my era. I know how business works because I'm a businessman, okay, and I still engage in business. Business has fundamental principles, and when you screw over those fundamental principles and falsely raise cost, you destroy business. Why do you think Walmart is taking over so easily? Because they can afford the government to bow down to the government on certain of their stupid rules that they've made because they have such huge volume. But the mom and pop are dying, going by the wayside because they cannot afford to do those things. So the government overreach is destroying capitalism in America.
Go ahead, Matt.
And again, you did not address my concern.
I did not call your name out.
Well, wait a minute. Let me say one thing to her. Diva, that would work just fine because you have people that work for a certain amount of money. I didn't say you didn't have to pay them nothing, but pay them according to their worth and what they produce, not just because for the hell of it. And that's what they're doing.
Wow.
For the hell of it, their wages are getting raised, and they don't have to produce to get it. That is not an incentive for business, and it doesn't work.
Yes, it does, because in the meantime, consumers suffer, neighbors suffer.
In the meantime,
I didn't call your name out either. Go ahead,
you know,
Matt.
Society suffers.
Didn't I say I wasn't talking to you?
Society don't suffer.
Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead, Matt.
All right, so I used to work minimum wage jobs when I started out with my several careers throughout my life. And, I worked my way up the financial ladder by doing good jobs or trying to get myself to improve myself in order to get, where I'm at now. Now, when the minimum wage goes up, it doesn't mean that my wage goes up. Basically, it takes away from my wage. It could take away from my job if people decide to start laying off because of these minimum wage increases. Now, all these things that have been brought up, like what Alex was talking about with the devaluating of the dollar through overprinting, when you start raising these minimum wage costs, I have to pay more for my products that I buy. Because once again, it's taking away from what I've worked so hard to accomplish. And I think that's something that people don't understand is the fact that all these things that coalesce together and gel is the reason why we're having such a financial crisis. when the government overreaches and says that we're going to pay these people, either college students or the Walmart greeter or whoever it is, we're going to pay them substantially more for a minimum wage. It's going to affect and kill business, and it's going to take away from my hard-earned work for the last 25 years. It's absolutely asinine.
And it's true. I mean, we fail to realize what's happening is it goes back to education and not educating people on economics, not educating them and teaching them how to think. That's why when they go to the ballot box, people don't understand what they're voting for. They get these buzzwords and they vote for it and they think they've done something because, yeah, we won. This is not a win-lose. This is a pay attention to see what you're going to get because you have very, very crafty lawyers writing languages that really don't make any sense. And bad law, bad legislation, and this bad legislation is the demise of our country. Because if you don't have an education, people at 35 trying to raise a family should not be working at minimum wage jobs. You can't do it. But if you don't have
education, how's it going?
Coming out of high school, and you can't get into, you can't become a craftsman, you can't go to college, you don't have a trade, then what are you going to do? And working at McDonald's, flipping a burger, trying to raise a family of four is not going to cut it.
Not at all.
Not even with two people in the family working minimum wage jobs.
And now let me go to my other dynamic on the economy. If you took off the doggone the things on energy that you have by the EPA and on manufacturing in this country, and you rolled back that corporate tax level, you would have the economy screaming right now. And everybody would be employed that wanted a job if they wanted to. But these fools put a wet blanket on a smoldering fire. That's what you have done. And you don't realize it because you like the guy because he looks good. That's a bunch of craziness.
Which one?
Obama. Oh, we're talking about Obama. Nice. Everybody, the world is laughing at us. They're laughing at your foreign policy. They're laughing at your economic policy. And then George Soros, who drove it there, is getting ready to take over our currency like he did the English pound by destroying it. He's betting against us, the S&P 500.
The pound is no longer in existence, am I correct?
Destroyed.
Of course the pound's in existence.
Yeah, but it's, look at what it's worth.
Because I hear about the euro, but I don't hear about the pound too often.
Well, it's still traded. It's still an active currency. Great Britain.
But how much is it worth?
$2 US.
It's about $2 US.
Yeah, it's worth more than the euro, and it's worth more than the dollar.
Each British pound is worth about $2 US.
It's worth $2 US.
I buy things. I trade and buy things periodically in Britain, and particularly motor drives and things. And when I see the prices, I think they're U.S. dollars, and it's actually double because the British pound, you know, it fluctuates.
Pound
but
sterling.
It's about $2 US to the British pound. It's one British pound. So
right now it's $1.56. It's 1.56. It takes $1.56 to get a pound.
And how much does it take to get a yen?
Oh, God, yens are way. Let me look at the chart here. A yen.
Yen is worse than a dollar right now.
Well, it takes $0.0102 to get a yen. So it takes 97, 98 yen right now today to get a dollar.
So is this what we really want? Because we're going somewhere. Because the dollar doesn't have the value that it should. And right now, when you really look at it, a dollar doesn't buy you.
How can you expect the dollar to have the value that it should when they're putting $85 billion of them every single month, and not to mention all the rest of the stimulus?
What do you think we're talking about then?
That's government influence, overreach into and destroying the economy. That's why you don't have any recovery now.
Actually, who's responsible for printing these dollars and this policy is the Fed. But the Fed isn't the government. The Fed is a consortium of private banks.
Congress
has the right.
Congress
has given them the right to print the money. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Of the wildfire.
Did you eat lunch? What did you eat? That is not lunch. I swear, you teenagers, I swear, I'm going to eat food.
Yeah, Mr. Brown, the Congress in the Constitution has been delegated the power to coin money, but the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, Congress gave that over to the Federal Reserve, created the Federal Reserve, but they have the power.
Isn't the Federal Reserve a separate entity made, like he said,
yes,
made up of private
bank.
Bankers? So
yes.
It's not a government entity. It's a private entity.
Yes, and what I'm saying is that it is a private entity. We can't control what they do, but the Congress does have the power to remove their charter to print money, because the Congress gave them that ability. But that was a law, the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, enacted. Congress has the Congress gave them that power. They can take it away.
So you think that if we get a Republican-controlled Congress in 2014, that they will change that, since they're talking, since a lot of their leaders, like Rand Paul,
are talking
about abolishing the Fed?
Republicans are no different from Democrats. They're not going to do jack. They talk real loud when other guys in office, but they're not going to do anything. I mean, I'm not a Republican. I'm a libertarian. I mean, I'm a conservative libertarian, but yeah, I question Republicans just as much as I do Democrats. They're not worth their salt. So I don't believe anything that they say. I mean, Rand Paul might, you know, because he's really a libertarian, because his father is Ron Paul. You know, but
I would trust more than I trust Rand Paul.
You know what? They talk a good game and it sounds good, but if you've learned anything from Obama's candidacy, that you can talk it one way and walk it a completely other when you get in office. So
with any candidate, from
I've never seen someone flip or turn around as much as he did.
Oh my gosh! Did not Bush Senior say no new taxes?
Actually, I'm talking about one instance. I'm talking about an entire look.
He's saying
an entire.
I do have to ask you, Brown. What has he flipped on?
Well, I can say a number of things.
Okay, talk to me.
What brought him to prominence or what gave him against all the other Democratic candidates in 2008 is that what he stressed is that he was the one that voted against the war. The military arm of the U.S. hasn't receded. I'll continue. I can tell you more. I do have some anger, but
okay. But here's the thing. How about we volley back and forth? You give me what
he continued the Patriot Act. He's also stepped it up and instituted the NDAA. He spoke completely against that.
He said he'd allow us to get pharmaceuticals from Canada and outside the country when he came in. He just enacted more laws.
Let me answer your 3 points right now.
I'm not debating this. You're asking me a question. These are facts that I'm telling you.
It is a debate because it's not true. The only thing that you are correct on is NDAA. As far as the war, President Obama, the only war he was against was the war in Iraq. He always, campaign trail, said that we need to be in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
No, he didn't.
That is the absolute truth.
He said that those wars are going...
No, 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 no.
You said that those wars were going to be ended under his presidency.
He always said he was only against the war in Iraq, but he was for the war in Afghanistan. He said we should be in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
That was President Obama.
And he also
Obama's
said that
period.
We
that,
need
that,
to...
That was NATO. He led the same Secretary of Defense that Bush had. The policies didn't change. They were intensified as far as defense in the Army.
In fact,
Let me tell you what else he did.
He didn't have a problem with helping countries, foreign nations, military needs. He never had a problem with that.
He said, we're not going to go after you. We're going to let the states make their decision there. And the amount of raids on medical marijuana dispensaries, which have been licensed and approved by the state of California, have increased in his administration compared to the Bush administration.
Okay.
And you're talking to someone that supported him before the election.
I thought he was a breath of fresh air. Did you vote for him because of an ideal of him, or did you actually listen to the things that he said? Because it does not seem to me you
pay
close enough attention.
I listened to everything that he said. I listened to everything that he said.
Well, did we listen to two separate people? Because
No.
He never said he was like freely for y'all people to just be smoking and doing drugs willy nilly. He never said he was for that.
I worded it correctly. What he said was
EAA. That's the only thing he switched up.
California, let me clarify this. The state of California voted in out medical marijuana in 1996. There was a crackdown on the dispensaries, which is approved by the state of California, if it's done correctly, the right licensing. And he said that this wouldn't be a priority. He flipped on that.
It's not a priority, but he still has to uphold the law. So basically, if somebody is breaking the law,
if you don't hear what I'm saying, then we can skip to the next.
I do hear what you're saying, but I'm like, I think that. This
promise he made a pledge.
Marijuana is one of your reasons why you don't support him anymore, and your erroneous thoughts about the first.
What you asked me was, where did he talk it one way and walk it another? And I was just giving you some. I was just illustrating some of the areas. That's all.
And I was correcting you on those areas because you were wrong.
I'm in California. I know what happened.
Like American marijuana, okay, I'm not in California, so I don't know, but I'm like, to me, that's a non-issue when it comes to medical marijuana. For me, it's not an issue.
That's the beauty of America. You know that different things are important to different people. But you know something? Anyone that tells me one thing and it happens another way, or they say they're going to do something one way, and that's just a peeve of mine with anybody in business, a girlfriend, or anybody. If they tell me you're going to do one thing one way and then you do it another, my eyebrows are raised at you. I tend not to trust you.
Mr. Brown, you do understand the balance of power. You do understand checks and balances. You do understand the president might want and desire one thing, but without the backing of Congress, it's not going to happen. So he has no...
It took no congressional action for the Justice Department.
It was a debate that came out of national health care.
After these dispensaries. The signing of the NDAA and this NSA spying on U.S. citizens on steroids, perhaps you don't know what the NDAA says. Okay, basically...
I completely agree that he flipped on the NDAA. I completely agree on it.
But do you understand how important it is? He didn't flip on it. He never gave any indication that he was in favor of something like that. It says that American citizens can be charged and held indefinitely if there's any suspicion of terrorism.
Not just that, Brown, Stephen, also he flipped on Guantanamo closing. He flipped on the fact that we're supposed to be able to...
No, he never flipped on Guantanamo.
Look, can people talk, or are you just going to scream? Okay,
no,
also he made a point...
No, because if you're going to sit here and lie...
Guantanamo. He's telling me he didn't. Oh, my God.
He cannot physically close Guantanamo. That has to come from a congressional.
He's the president of the United States.
That has
he can do it. He has an awful
Congress.
Okay, did he not say we need to deserve?
Did he not promise?
You had a lot of
people
who
were going to
be able to watch bills.
Did he not promise
we were going to be able to see bills before they passed them? Did he not say that?
I'm sorry, repeat
that.
That
too?
You
guys should be able to see bills. You guys should be able to see the bills before they pass.
This government is secretly spying on everyone, and they're angry because it came out.
It's been before President Obama.
And it's wrong. It doesn't matter who did it. It's wrong. So he's continued the policy.
Hey, Brown. Diva's going to defend Obama to the death,
want.
Man.
I have nothing
she's
going to
defend this
I'm
man to the death. This man ain't made a mistake since she's been in office.
I don't like it.
And I can understand.
He ain't made a mistake to her since she's been in office, man. You're going to lose trying to tell her anything about Obama. You might as
well
let it go.
I'm not losing.
Because if you voted for him, if you supported him, I'm trying to figure out how you can go from supporting him and all the stuff that he laid on the campaign trail. Now you don't support him, and then the stuff that you give me as to why you don't support him is false. It's false. Because if you listen to
false.
Him,
let me tell you what. Let me tell you.
Him and listen.
No, Brown. No, guys, I am back. I am back.
Let me tell you
it
the
is.
First thing he did.
No, no, Brown.
Right
this Brown. This not the. No, this not the Brown. No, Brown. This not the Brown. This not the Brown and Friends show.
Beasley.
Same thing. It's a Brown Beasley. That's not the Brown and Brent. That's not the Brown and Friends show.
But where were you? Where were you offline eating potato chips? Government.
No, they don't have. Actually, I wish I did. There's nothing to eat around here. I've been trying to find stuff to eat all day long.
I was drinking egg and Olive Garden.
I cooked you some shrimp and
actually,
some ajis here in California.
Actually, the people that usually bring food on Mondays didn't show up for work today. So
yeah, that's right.
So I am I do deal with entitlements on Monday.
So we're about to fly out there to come to Aliotto's to eat.
I just want to go to
Aliotto's is a nice place.
Yes,
Aliotto's
it is. I love it.
Aliotto's is a nice place. Last night I made fresh tuna steaks, and I made them, and I made these big juice shrimps. These shrimp are about as big as the one Alabama wants to get. And I'm talking about good. With some brown rice, nice healthy green salad. Good food.
All right.
Give us about 6 hours. We'll be there.
No. No.
That's fine. You guys seem like nice people. You just have to promise we can't talk politics.
Oh, no. You didn't enjoy it.
Listen, I tried not to talk politics all the time I was in California last week, and they would not let me off the phone. They came all the way in from the Inland Empire to come all the way into the city to talk politics with me. I could not believe it.
You mean you didn't get Kavina Man?
No. Kavina Man's actually on the line.
Kavina Man, she was out in your area, man. She left you hanging. She didn't call you.
Hey, Kavina Man.
Her and Uncle Ruckus came out there.
Who's Uncle Ruckus?
Anybody that is against
Obama.
Oh,
I know who Uncle
black.
Ruckus is. I thought you had someone that acted like Uncle Ruckus.
No.
Uncle out there.
Yeah, any of us black people that don't like Obama and his policies are Uncle Ruckuses.
No, then I'm
you know,
you're an Aunt Ruckus.
You know something? I wouldn't go as far to say all that.
Neither would
you
I.
Like Bootsy, you like Bootsy Collins. Uncle Ruckus would never listen to Bootsy Collins.
Well, yeah, hubba-dubba-doo, Bubba.
But listen, let me say this. You know, this is what goes. This is what happens when we dumb down America and on the economy, on the politics.
Right.
I mean, this is what bothers me. It's not if you believe this is how we should be, then that's one thing. But it's one thing to believe something and not know what you believe.
Right.
And as our young people go into school now, we need to pay attention to what they're learning and what people are teaching them. And so we need to actually be mindful. And you know, you may look up quantitative easing and look up look at what we call mark-to-market. Look at what we call about go and look up the Barney Frank and the Maxine Waters.
Chris Dodd.
And the Chris Dodd.
Frank Bill.
You need to go look that stuff up and start reading it and looking into it and seeing what's really going on here. and how when look up what happens to over the years the inflation and how we went from paying 25 cents for a Snickers bar to now it's $1.59. I mean, we really need to pay attention to this and see find out why does it cost more to do business and why are we not getting what we deserve and why are we working so hard and not getting ahead? I mean, I don't think we realize just how hard we're working.
Tracy, it's so easy not to observe all those things when you're spending other people's money. If you keep people in a situation where they're always spending somebody else's money, it really is relative. It becomes relative to them because they have no responsibility and they have no responsibility in making the money. Somebody's always giving it to them. So when they lose it or when they, are without it, it's no big deal because they know they're going to get it again.
So
I think that has a lot to do with it.
When you're speaking in terms of spending other people's money, you're talking about people that receive entitlements?
Let me see it this way.
Yeah.
And Hold on.
Sure. If you look at our government,
and ask the Congress as well.
They're spending money that
Congress
doesn't
well.
Exist. They're
that's
spending
true.
Money that doesn't exist and creating money out of thin air. And that's why prices.
But the people that don't have any responsibility in obtaining the money have become, I guess, conditioned to expect it. And the way Congress stays in power is to give them more money, or to give them money, and that's kind of sad.
And actually, this is bigger than that. They keep. If you really look at this, it goes back to what do you learn while you're in the classroom, and what have they taught you? And look at your news media on how they are dumbing you down completely based upon their own ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to pay attention to our dumb news sources. Because our news sources are killing us.
You know, I'm old enough to remember when news reporting was objective. A journalist is supposed to be objective, which means they don't really have an opinion one way or the other. Or they're not, and they just state it the way that it is. And that's entirely, and that's changed. Now you have cable news stations that push a certain line. We know that MSNBC is to the left, even to the far left for me. And we know that Fox News is for the fascists and the far right, and then you've got CNN somewhere there in the middle, there's someone manipulated. So that's been a change that you've seen over the past 25, 30 years. Why do you think that's happened?
Because they wanted to
like this.
They wanted to dumb you down, and they've done very, very well at it. And so instead of informing you, they entertain you with their own thoughts. You take it as truth, and you don't get it. And that's our young people. We have been conditioned as we are being raised to go to the news sources to get our information, and that information is now becoming flawed. That's how we get people in office and don't know how to change what they're talking about, and so the we the people has now become we the press.
You know what I think? I think that they've created these polarized news sources, and depending on what you'll believe, you'll buy into one or the other. And
they're all owned by the same people.
Well, okay.
You got to look at who owns what and where. Look at this. In most of your major cities,
I know who owns.
I'm not talking about you.
Okay.
You have to understand that when you look at your major city right now, Time Warner is no longer carrying CBS based upon a contract. Do we understand that? So now you have an entity that's now controlling your news source. And actually, even though if it's left-leaning or right-leaning, you have to understand that it's being controlled by people now. And until we wake up and understand, I'm not listening.
Comcast owns NBC.
We understand that. I understand that.
They also own Universal Pictures.
Listen, what I'm saying, I don't want to know what you know. I want to let people know what they don't know. And what they don't realize is here in our local area, we almost lost CBS also completely because of contractual. We need to start paying attention to who owns what and who's carrying what and why they're not giving you the news. And everything is based upon dollars and cents and not based upon fact. Go ahead, South Carolina. You were going to say something.
Well, the thing about it is, Tracy, you know, we've gotten so conditioned to being entertained. Which is not logical. That's we are so conditioned to being entertained that we have lost all of our critical thinking skills, period. So we can't figure things out anymore.
Go ahead, Alex.
I want to ask you if you've have you been keeping track of there? Apparently, there's a movement to because all these problems you're talking about, I don't think under the current system it can be solved. I think the federal government is just it's just beyond repair. Sorry about that. So then,
I agree.
So the thing about it is that you have people like Mark Levin and other people that are pushing for a constitutional convention under Article 5 of the Constitution. Is essentially the only way that amendments have been made to the Constitution has been through, you know, Congress. But there's a second method if the states and the people get together and to have a constitutional convention. And it just seems like that's just what needs to happen, because I don't think we can – I just don't think we – it just seems like we're never going to be able to get everybody on the same page. And we need to go back to certain principles of liberty and the original intention of the Constitution and how the government is supposed to be run. Because right now the government runs itself. It's not accountable to the people at all. Because they're able to just print money and finance itself. When I think I made an example on your show before that, like in the war, in previous wars before the Federal Reserve was created, any military engagement, the government had to go to the people to raise the money. They had to go to private banks and say, "Will you lend us this money to go fight this war over here?" And since
it's the same thing now.
And so now they don't have to do that anymore. They just – because the money is just printed out of thin air from the Federal Reserve, and it's just – there's no – it's no longer a government for, by, and of the people, because the government, it just runs itself, and it's not accountable to the people anymore now the way that it is. So
the problem that we have with what you just said, Alex, this is the problem that we have. No one has educated the people on what they need to do to override Congress.
Yeah, but it doesn't
because
matter
the people
if you
do not
Congress,
the people do
though.
Not believe the people do not believe that they are the United States government and not the people who are shown on television.
I don't think we're the government anymore. I mean, I think that's we are. I think as some people, as people who are pushing for the constitutional convention, they're calling this a post-constitution America. I don't think the government is run by the people anymore. I don't think it matters who you elect, because the system is self-sustaining now, where it's completely disconnected from the people, completely disconnected from the people. So
that's what I mean, but the people don't even
elect.
Understand about a – you're talking about putting together a convention. People don't even know what a convention is every 4 years. They are part of something that they don't know that they're a part of, nor do they know how the motions and the mechanics move to move this engine in their own behalf. That's what I'm saying. It's not that it shouldn't be done. What I'm saying is people don't even know how to convene a convention and to be a part of it.
Apparently, there's only a few states that need to be included. I mean, we're already up to I think about 30 states that'll do it. And I just think it's a matter of getting the word out about it. Because once we if we get that constitutional convention, you know, that is the only thing that the current federal government has no control over. If we can actually get a constitutional convention convened by the states and then the people,
have mercy.
And they don't want it because they are scared witless about this. And so that is the
yeah,
only thing left, I think, for us to do that we actually that we can do that the current system, the current like the federal government can't, you know, circumvent.
I, for one,
not want to live in a Hunger Games society. And from hearing you speak, I don't know if this Alex of Alabama, forgive me, y'all sound alike somewhat. And Tracy and Jeff sometimes, it sounds straight out of a Hunger Games movie.
You're getting ready to do Hunger Games, Diva. That's where you're headed.
No.
Yes. I understand. You only have so much of other people's money. Millionaires and billionaires are leaving the United States in record numbers because they're not going to let this idiot play with their money. They're going.
And guess what?
There's not going to be any money left in the country. And when there's no money left
in a society, you're talking about setting a wage based on age restrictions.
No, I didn't say that at all. This is so far above what you just said, Diva. This is so far above that. You have to understand what's going on here. People are tired of working for no money. And there are a lot of people who are
no
Diva. There are a lot of people that are working and they're not working and they're receiving money from it. And pretty soon there's going to be a revolt of people because they are tired of working and Uncle Sam is taking 37% of their paycheck.
Thank you.
It is the smallest amount of people who sit at home and don't work and collect the welfare check.
This is more than welfare, Diva.
Of the annual budget. So it's not as many people as you like to think. I don't know anybody who sits at home, don't work, and collect a check unless they're disabled.
I do.
And you probably can count on one hand how many people you know. And it's day and age.
No, Diva, don't say that. Because I know a lot of people.
I'm saying to people you personally know. I've seen people who started out on welfare, who started out on a system. And because of the way the system is set up, they had to move off of the system and onto jobs. I've seen how it was before welfare reform.
You guys just want
to take it back to a...
There are people that are working that are in SSI that need a job.
Did you hear what she just said?
What?
Do we want to take it back to a have and have not society? You're getting ready to go through that right now. He's going to take everything you got. Do you understand that? That's what we're screaming about.
That the control
the government is going to have over your life. You're not going to have control over your own self. You're not going to be able to make your own decisions.
Republicans don't want to make decisions now. You can't make a decision if you're gay to marry your partner. You can't make a decision as a woman whether or not you want to have
Diva,
an abortion.
Diva,
I don't agree with these
you
things, but still, you can
yes,
be disingenuous about it.
Diva, this is bigger than folks having gay people, and it's bigger than
I
that.
I know it's
you
bigger than
that.
I'm making a
but
point.
See, listen,
you guys
no, no,
are
you're not. Your point is listen,
about
Diva,
what you're saying.
Diva, right now. They're getting ready to tie your health care to your taxes.
And when they do.
And if you don't have health care, they're getting ready to take you and they're going to put a mandate with you. If you don't, they're going to put a tax penalty on top of that.
Which means they can come take your property. They can come do whatever they want to.
If you don't have car insurance.
Your mic is on.
Same thing.
Yes, Steve.
Who's making all that noise in the background?
Not me.
Go ahead, Diva. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, Ms. Tracy, myself, I don't buy into that in thinking that the President of the United States is getting ready to take away a lot of things from peace. I just don't buy into that. I think that he wants what is best for this country here. This is you and Republicans, especially those who are in Congress, and because they're going along and going along with the so-called Tea Party, and I think the Republicans, they would like to work for the President of the United States, but they can't put their hands are tied because when they go back into their district, who they have to deal with? They have to deal with y'all and the ones who are in the Tea Party. Y'all tell them, don't work with the president. And so just keep on criticizing him and dead-mouthing him. He's already getting criticized and people are putting him down because he is a black man. You see he has to deal with racism. he got criticized for sticking up for Trayvon Martin and his family, and even labeled as a racist and everything. But yet, do y'all back him and support him? No, you can sit up on the radio, can't criticize the President of the United States. I think he wants what is best for this country here. But he can't, because he has to go along with those who put him in power. That's why I called him a puppet. I don't think he really wants to be a puppet, but he ain't got no choice.
He's a lame duck president. He can do what he wants to do right now. What's the problem?
I think he does want to do for us black people.
He don't want to do nothing for you black people. He don't want to do nothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what he wants to do? Steve, that's stupid, because that doesn't help black people. That would have helped Trayvon Martin's family only. You know what he did for you? You know what he did for black people? He just got you to vote for the midterms election by having Holder reduce the automatic sentencing.
Matter of fact, he is doing for black people, but he's doing.
Hello?
What's he doing?
He's getting it to make you vote for Democrats again in the midterms. That's the only thing he's doing it for, because it ain't no money. Listen, there ain't no money involved
Bart,
in it.
Political maneuver, but Jeff,
it's
something
it's
you complain
stupid,
about
it's a
lot.
It's a stupid behind maneuver for you, because guess what? There's no monetary.
It's a smart political maneuver. You got to give it. You got to give it credit where it's due. It's a
She's
smart political
right.
attack.
I disagree.
She's right. It's a smart political maneuver that's going to backfire and bite him in the butt. But that we're not talking about getting winning. We're not talking about what's good for you. We're talking about winning or losing. And remember, even when they win, they lose.
Well, there's no doubt about it. But
you got to give the man credit. They just like they did with the Dream Act, right before the presidential election for the Hispanics.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, they always do that because they have nothing to run on ever.
Republicans don't.
We have the records to run on. The Republicans just happen to be the only party left that still want the United States to be a power and an entity in the world. These people
want us to
be.
Oh my gosh, Jeff!
What do you mean? Oh your gosh, Jeff!
You just say that with a straight face. Did you really just
say
that with a
straight face? Republicans still want yes. Because don't forget, who wants to build up the military? Huh?
All they truly care about is people like them. That's it.
I said, who wants to have a strong military for the United States?
They don't care about the military people, the personnel.
Oh,
all they care about is weapons, making money off them weapons, and that's it.
Diva,
because
what
under
the weapons allow us to do?
Because he didn't stop any of the base closings. How come the military, when I was at Fort Campbell, how come there was military personnel living in trailers? E1s, E2s living in trailers, living in poverty, having to go on food stamps. Don't tell me they really care about the military personnel. They care about weapons and profit. That's it.
Once again, they want the United States to be strong. And that's why they put the money into the military weapons, because military weapons are deterrents to people wanting to do stuff to the United States.
Jeff.
They care about the money behind it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Jeff.
Diva.
They love. Listen, you're missing the point, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Calm down.
I'm not upset.
Listen here. You have to understand that they love America.
Who loves America?
All of them. They all love America, and they all want to do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people are still living in trailers under the Obama administration, too. It doesn't make a difference.
You mean down in,
don't matter.
Military or New Orleans or
folks are still,
or up on this coast.
Nothing has changed.
Nope.
Sandy Hook people.
Maybe we had somebody who was smart enough to run that office when that happened. They wouldn't have been in a situation to begin with.
Please, Diva. They're in the situation because the foolish people in government, which are the liberals, Can I finish, Diva? The stupid people that are in government, called the liberals, the progressives, that make the rules that say, well, the people up there had a flood, so we can't put these trailers for them to live in while they rebuild their homes.
No,
because it's a floodplain.
Not only that, listen here. I got to take a break, and I'm going to open the phone lines up. But listen to this, guys, and I really want you, I'm very, very sincere about this. What's happening is on both sides of the aisle, because I'm not going to play politics here on Republican and or Democrat. they're not engaging Americans to stand on their own two feet. Until America can stand on its own two feet as Americans, independent from the system, we need to make sure that when things go wrong, people can survive, and we have not given them the tools to be able to do that. We have dumbed them down, and we have enabled them so much that they are totally weak, that when catastrophe happens, they've got to reach into the government's pockets to fix it. Because of insurance regulation, all those things are not, you should not be depending on the government to fix your problems. And all of us do. And that is a problem because we have not allowed the wealth of Americans and the wealth of Americans to stand on its own two feet. And because of that, we're losing. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
Once again, I'm sorry, but I have to disagree with her. As a person who is a survivor of cancer that was just diagnosed with this year, almost losing my life to a disease I didn't know how I contracted last year, racking up $60,000 in medical bills. I'm sorry. I love my Medicaid, and I'm thankful for it, and I will use that card every time I go to doctors, every time I go to the hospital. $60,000 is more than I made in a year and a half of working. So you tell me I'm supposed to go broke?
That's what's
and
been
because
happening.
The, because, hold on, you tell me
that's,
I'm supposed to go broke because
the
hospital's greed?
That's the way. That's what's happening. People get old, get sick, and they end up bankrupt because of medical bills. That's been the design.
And it's not fair. The hospital CEO is making over $5 million. Okay, I'm all for you making money. I'm not saying you got to live as a pauper. But does a single shot cost $600?
You're coming from a good place. I understand you. I understand what you're saying. It seems like the majority of the people that are talking on this show, they're really more concerned with the people that are on the bottom. You know, I have compassion and empathy for the people on the bottom. Do I have compassion for the people that abuse the system? No.
No one has compassion for people who abuse the system, but the fact of the matter is, it's
not the amount of people
who abuse the system.
People on the bottom.
It's so small that they're lumping everybody and they're trying to change the system based on the smallest amount, the smallest percentage of people in the back.
Hey, Diva, here's the problem with that. You know, you're talking about.
Yes, I'm about to apply for my disability and my food stamps, just to let y'all know. I'll let y'all know how it go, too.
You're
talking
about
any of that, but go ahead. I never have. And I still have compassion on the bottom.
Okay. Hey, Sal, go ahead.
Here's a problem you're running into, okay? This is the classic example of what liberals do. When we start talking about the issues that are affecting America, you always want to talk about, well, you have no compassion. That's bull. It is not a compassionate thing to have somebody that is abusing the system and say, oh, I feel so sorry.
I agree with those that abuse.
No.
What about
those
that abuse?
That's problem, South Carolina.
You
guys are trying to change the system based on the smallest percentage of people.
Let me finish, okay? Because you all are immediately take it to the emotional. It has not a damn thing to do with the emotional. It has everything to do with logic. If you don't have the money and you can't pay it, I don't give a rip how sick you are. I'm not going to hold somebody else responsible for paying my bills, regardless. And that's what some of these people are doing. And you cannot
deny
it.
It's not about holding somebody responsible, but it is about showing some. I don't think that they owe. I don't think I'm owed something, but I don't think that I should be left to die either. I'm only 33 years old. I have a child to live for. I want to live. I haven't begun to live. My mom used to always tell me that. I never understood what she was talking about because I experienced so much of my life. But I'm like, I'm only 33. I want to live.
Yeah.
So when I couldn't work, what am I supposed to do? When people can't work and they get sick, what are they supposed to do? It's not, if I'm pulling on emotional strings, and so be it.
Diva, you got people that they won't work. That's the bottom line.
Okay, but again, that's the smallest amount of people.
Both of you stop for a second.
This was making me pull my wig out.
I want someone to answer the question. What when someone gets sick and they can't work? What are they supposed to do?
Then they get on the system. But what I'm saying is this: when you've got people out there actively promoting, hey, get your food stamps, it's your benefit, it's your right as an American.
I can't agree with that. I have too much pride to get on food stamps. You know,
well, I'm sorry,
and you got people out there.
Brown,
you got people that have six and seven phones.
You need to be very proud, too.
You know, you're speaking of the people that abuse the system, and any of us would have contempt for them because we pay into a system. But I agree with the people that abuse the system. Who couldn't have contempt for them? No one's speaking up for them. But someone like someone like Diva, I'm sorry, who says she was sick and couldn't work. Of all the trillions of dollars that get spent overseas and on everything else, you can't take care of Americans right here in America?
Is the government made to take care of Americans? That's the question. The government is
supposed to be government for the people.
Did I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Man, my heart goes out to Diva.
We know it does.
No, we were discussing something during break. I don't think you guys heard, and that's what he's talking about.
I mean, I'm starting to think a little differently. Diva, I mean, she's young enough to be my daughter, and I didn't know how sick.
No, he's talking about her sickness.
I know what he's talking about. Yes,
Diva is entitled to get programs. I was going to bring up...
No. She's not... No. Listen, the bad word. Entitled does not mean anything. We are privileged in America to have the resources to take care of people who cannot take for themselves. But my problem... See, hold on, Steve. My problem is not with Diva. But I will say this. There are jobs that Diva can do, even though Diva may be ill. And what we need to do is we need to make sure people who can function... have the ability to go and be functional and then have flexible schedules with their doctor's appointments and things on that order so that they can take care of themselves, they can stay at home, and they can work to their aptitude. That's what needs to happen. But what we have now is we have an entitlement society where we tell you, don't work, stay home, don't make any more than this. If you're on, we put you on total disability, and if you make a dollar, we'll take it from you.
Yeah.
That's not a bad way to be.
That is a bad way,
but the thing is, what business owner is going to allow...
Hold on, Steve. What'd you say, Diva?
What business owner is going to... Because to work from home for some business, it costs more than to have that person actually in the facility.
Diva,
the work I can do it from home.
Diva, that's my whole skill set. Too bad. You have to be retrained, but guess what? If you can be a phlebotomist, you can be a data entry person.
Yes, I could be.
We just need to make sure you get retooled. And what business person, a smart business person, would take some of the people that are out there that are willing to work and give them a laptop and pay them an hourly rate and give them a job no matter what they did to it, because sometimes you just got to get stuff in. Some things need to be scanned in. All you need to do is give you a scanner and let you scan documents all day long and pay you a decent wage. But what I'm saying is that is not what we're doing today, and we are calling and we are entitling people, and we're weakening them and making them stay home. We've got
Are there any businesses out there that go the extra mile? Yes, there are businesses out there. Well, there's a business out there like that.
Diva.
In contact, contact with Tracy. She can contact me because I would love to work.
Diva, you ever worked for a call center?
Yes, I worked for a call center.
Okay, well, they let you work at home.
No, you have to work in the actual call center for a period of time before they will actually work from home. I have
several friends that work at home. For the call center, and they have to clock in at a certain time. Can I finish, please? They have to clock in at a certain time, and then they clock out at a certain time. And they work right out their own phone, right at home in their living room.
Yes, I mean, is Eva needs to work if she's sick like that? Because I mean,
no, I mean, I'm not an advocate of that.
Hold on. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying.
You wanted to get better.
Listen to what I'm saying. There are jobs that you do not have to be sitting at a computer for 8 hours straight.
Because there's a lot of stress.
It's not. No. No. No.
Da, da,
da, da, da, da, no, that's just what you call excuses.
Yeah.
But hold on, because we have people who can work and they're not working. If you got a bad back, then we need to find another way. But our problem is we have a lot of people who have never contributed onto the rolls, and they're taking money out of it, and they need to go to work.
This is a West Side Story thing, Tracy, you know what I mean?
No.
Diva, I just met a girl named Diva.
Yeah. So stupid.
You know it, baby. I am.
I'm trying to be good, man.
No, you ain't. Don't even try it.
Okay.
Anyway.
Are you, and I guess you're the Jets, right?
I completely agree with Tracy. But again, you guys, this is how I feel. I feel you guys are trying. I feel that you people on the right, not all of you, but the good majority, especially ones on top, are trying to revamp the system because of a small majority of people who abuse the system.
They don't have the power to elect a president. All they're doing is they don't have a lot of power right now, and they're fighting amongst each other. That's why they're so angry.
Nobody's getting anything done.
Nobody's getting nothing done. Check this out. Now let me tell you where I'm at, Diva. I think that instead of them screwing everybody and throwing them on a crazy system, if they really wanted to help, they should have made a single payer system for the people that did not have coverage, that couldn't afford it. Now those that could afford it, that's a different story. If you wanted to make them get into the system, which I don't think that was more than about 10% of the people that are not covered. Or by choice.
Could you do me
I'm
a favor
sure.
real quick and explain to me? I don't know what exactly what single payer means.
That's like Medicaid.
I want the gentleman to explain it. Because he's smart.
Medicaid and Medicare are single payer.
He's absolutely saying Medicaid or Medicare, the government.
Explain,
or
break it down. Talk to me like Tracy talks to people, like they're a 3-year-old. I'm just having a little fun.
My mind has a hard time doing that, but guess what?
I really want to understand exactly what senior payer means. I don't know what it means.
Do you
know
what a direction card is? Do you know what a medical card is that they get for welfare? Huh?
They get a medical card
from the government. Now, until that person can afford to go out on their own and get a job to do that, they should have some types of coverages for those things. Everybody has somewhat of a sort of catastrophic coverage anyway, because they will treat you regardless. But those things needed to be dealt with. I've never been the person to say we didn't need to have health care coverage for people. We need some people can't afford it because of the way this country is, and this country is rich enough to afford its people some types of coverages.
But let me say this. I blame Republicans for the mess that we're in.
I blame both of them.
When it comes to health care. And I say this openly. They should have done something when they were there and they didn't.
Hello.
But well, I will say this. But the plan that we have right now is not a plan we should have.
No, this is not health care.
It's better than what we
this
had.
This is health care.
But let me also say this. Yeah, Matt?
I just want to make a quick point, too, and this is something that always seems to get missed and swept under the rug. You're talking about people have been talking about health care costs as well, as far as medication or the cost of surgeries and such, and they always seem to chalk it up to, and there are greedy doctors and there are people in high positions that make a lot of money, but what people tend to miss is the over-regulation. I'm not saying some regulation isn't good, but the over-regulation on some of these between the hospitals and the medical companies, the drug companies and such, they have to hop through so many hoops to get to just gain an inch in a positive direction. And there's a lot of money going being paid out, and it's because of government intervention and oversight that a lot of this healthcare cost is out of control. That's something that people need to remember. And to say that we should get the government more involved, that's going that's not going backwards. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
Also,
hold on. 412, go ahead.
Hey, Tracy, you muted me out earlier, but
You're making noise.
With what he just said, that it's all the government. I mean, the government it gives licenses to doctors to only practice medicine, and with all the regulations of the FDA, then that's what makes the healthcare so expensive, and then that's the reason why people can't afford, you know, to get treatment, you know, over when you compound the issues. And then on top of that, you make it so that it takes $100 million for us to develop any vaccine or drug or anything. And then so then nobody can actually go into the medical business. You know, nobody can actually make it unless they're backed by some bank. And so then the only people that grow are the pharmaceutical companies or medical corporations that are in good with the Federal Reserve or certain banks that have ties with the Federal Reserve to get those loans from investment bankers, and the costs just continue to increase, you know. So it's all government intervention, you know, that's causes all these problems. But then to then say, well, we need the government to do more, you know, it's just insane. But one thing I wanted to say briefly is it irritates me every time somebody says it, when they say talk about, well, the mandate to buy insurance, and say, well, you need car insurance. But the thing is that, well, if you don't want to pay the car insurance, you could just get rid of your car. What do you have to get rid of if you don't want to pay medical insurance? You know, it's just an acidified argument.
Also, I wanted to add something, Tracy. Just I think sometimes conservatives get a bad rap in that they talk about the lazy, you know, person or whatever. I think that if you got rid of all social programs, I mean, got rid of all
programs for these businesses as well. I mean, businesses that cheat and do a lot of corporate things. And a lot of times when a corporate entity gets a government contract for war or for, you know, for something, it's something that's necessary. Nobody complains about that as much as they'll complain about welfare. I think a lot of these programs and people like Diva, who's in her situation, if somebody really has a genuine need, then one, that person needs to be shown where they can get jobs, like you guys were just saying. Secondly, that person needs to get what they need. I don't see anything wrong with that, but only when it's a necessary thing. And I think as adults in America, we should all be able to decide what that is, and then a lot of this corporate welfare needs to be cut as well. But no American, nobody on this phone is saying let people die. Am I right? Is there somebody? Am I wrong?
No.
Okay, so that's thrown out then. So obviously, if somebody's like Diva, nobody's saying, we all want to hear her calling and screaming and getting emotional. But you know, so we don't want to see her lose her life. So we want her, if she needs something,
exactly,
that'll happen. Even though I disagree with 90% of what she say, I don't want to see her gone. So I think that's not the argument.
Gone. But let me say this also. I understand, and this is something that I'm because I'm passionate. And I have compassion towards people, but I'm telling you, our common sense and our ways of administrating things are really stupid. America has gotten some real stuff real backwards, because again, there are ways to cut money. It makes no sense that if you have a senior, and that senior needs to go and needs care at home, but because they meet an income threshold and they don't take out their copays and their insurances, and then say that if us to fix your problem, you're going to have to pay $700 a month for
it's
you to get respite care. See, you know, when you have in-home health, AIDS,
yeah,
you need people to come into your home, but you have to meet a certain criteria for them to take care of it. So you're over by $300, but they don't take out the copays and the insurances that you pay. So they tell you, well, listen, if anything else, now you got to go into a, you know, skilled nursing facility, which is $5,500 a month, that the state has to take care of.
Right.
That doesn't make sense. No. Not for a $700 discrepancy and a $300 over, you know, your income allowance. That's just dumb.
Yeah, that's true.
Same thing with co-pays. Right now, you've got things going on in the medical industry where you have to see the people. And so at one time, if you had money coming in, you could help them with their co-pays if they had insurance. Now they've said, well, if they have insurance, you can't assist them in co-pay. Well, if they can't pay the co-pay, then that takes down, because the insurance has a negotiated rate. That takes down their actual income, which now they no longer can afford to come to see about their health care, and they can't afford what's going on. That's just crazy. There are some things inside of our government system that just need to be worked on. And it just takes common sense, because we got bureaucrats sitting up in their glass houses making decisions for people, and they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it would end a whole lot of waste.
Oh,
so you got seniors that need to be at home or inside of assisted living, getting 12-hour care instead of 24-hour care, and paying $1,200 a month worth $5,500 a month. Hello.
Well, you're about right. But that's what it is. That's what the whole thing is about, though. If people understood what they just did, they're not going to understand it till it's way too late.
But they're going to have to.
Yeah, I mean,
we can't afford this anymore.
No, you can't afford it anymore. And you're going to have a civil war.
These are the type of conversations we need to have when it comes to revamping health care. Tracy, what you said was very poignant, and it goes to the heart of what a lot of people are feeling. You need to revamp the system in that way. But when I turn on the news, whether it's Fox, MSNBC, or CNN, all I hear is a Republican congressman saying
again,
stuff
Steven,
like we need to get rid of health care. We don't need
you
that.
Have
when
to.
It came time
sure.
to when it came time to they had control, what did they do? They did nothing. So now the trust is gone. We don't trust you. We don't trust you to make
but
a decision Diva, because
Diva,
now
Diva,
it's like,
I gotta,
you're disingenuous.
I gotta go. But Diva, this is the issue. Going back to you said Fox News or whomever. Remember, the media comes and puts up who they choose to put up. They don't put me on there, and they don't put people that think like me and put a mic and a camera in our face. They manipulate the situation so that you stay where you are. And until we understand that, that's not the Republican point of view. What it is some crazy congressman who goes and says something stupid, and then they say he's a Republican, and we subscribe that it's all Republicans that think that way, and it's not.
But it's Boehner, it's people like John Boehner, and it's people like
you've
Eric
never heard
Cantor.
Boehner say that.
You've never heard him say that.
You've
That's not
heard,
true.
You've never heard Boehner say that.
That's not true.
What I'm saying is Boehner is now, all the Republicans who are at the top in Congress are being disingenuous about health care when they had a chance to do something, and they say quiet.
To hear Boehner say that, listen, I got to go. We'll
She's
see
talking
tomorrow.
About what the news media
listen,
says on the other
I gotta
side.
Go.
It's not
we'll see you
on
that. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. And yes, maybe you'll be in, maybe you won't. Maybe I'll
be that might be the first hour, and then I'll
see you
to
guys.
Go.
I'll see you guys when I get here tomorrow. God bless.